Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the rumble tonight here at Black Power Radio. I'd like to welcome you, you, and you, and everybody here to your radio show tonight. We're happy to be on Black Power Radio, but we're dealing with the political convention out in Newark, New Jersey, and so many things have happened in Newark. And you just kind of wonder, man, what is the real deal? Anybody in our vast listening and vast participating audience know what's the real deal in Newark? Well, we'll answer those questions and many more. Tonight on Black Power Radio, we have a host of folks giving tribute to the Honorable Queen Mother out of New York City, Sister Viola Plummer and Queen Mother. I'm out here getting my coffee thing straight, but nevertheless, we're going to rock us some Black Power Radio tonight. Regardless, I hope that you'll buckle your seatbelts and sit back and enjoy the ride, because you're live right here on Black Power Radio tonight. and hope that you, and bring your whole crew. Huh? That's right, the baddest radio station in the whole goddamn nation. You already know, it's Black Power Radio, and we're giving you more of what you listen to radio for. We have the most informative radio talk show on the internet, on your smartphone, dumb phone, Android, paranoid. And we ask all the paranoid folks, as usual, you must buckle your seatbelts and sit back and enjoy the ride tonight on Black Power Radio. And again, I'm your host, State Kelly Ma'am Osborne. I'm bringing Mr. Stout in. I hope I can get him black on radio. We got Kentucky coming live to you tonight, and I'm just trying to get all of these things straight as usual. We already got some dynamic of distraction, but nevertheless, we're still all live here at Black Power Radio, and we're going to be picking up tonight all over the nation. We got Stout out in Lexington, Kentucky. We're going to get him right back live here on Black Power Radio. This is our job. This is how we do it here at Black Power Radio. And so we're going to... here live on Black Power Radio. Of course, again, we're getting our coffee straight, and we're sitting back to enjoy the ride here. We've got Troop Bay out there in the west side. We got Brother Stout out there in Lexington, Kentucky. We've got Black Lightning out on the west side of D.C., Washington metropolitan area. And it's just all folks of your choice that you remember from Black Power Radio. Brother Shabaka's on that west side. We got our big brother, K.D. Walters, coming out of North Carolina tonight. So we've got a smorgasbord of hosts and fanfare and people wishing Viola Plummer well and doing so many other things that are revolutionary at this hour. And so, I mean, you might have your favorite subject that you just want to talk about tonight. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about the Black Political Convention. And I want to welcome my first guest. He's like a guest host.
A brother who has been with me for years, and we got separated during the COVID. We have reunited, and again, we're right here live on Black Power Radio. And I want to welcome Mr. Stout, a veteran in his own right, and have him to take it up until I can get Black in the studio. Brother Stout out of Lexington, Kentucky, are you there with us?
Yes, brother.
Yes, sir. That's right. Shout out to Lexington.
Yeah.
You can take it from there, and I'll mute out and let you tell the Lexington story and bring us up to date, man, because you've been out for a while, so you got a lot of making up to do. And you know, I know you can talk. Only no one can talk about it like our veteran brother Stout out of Lexington, and he can tell you some Kentucky stories that will make your hair curl up. You ain't got no hair? Oh, okay. Well, you'll grow some hair and make it curl up tonight. Power to we the people. Welcome, Brother Stout, and you're live on Black Power Radio.
Yes, sir. It's nice to be a part of the program tonight, and especially a tribute to Sister Viola and all the other, and tribute to all the sisters, because, you know, at one time we need to give that credit. The sisters over the years that have been one of the greatest backbones of the Black Panther Party. That's what I'm speaking to, and the Nationalist Party. And the things that I would like to talk about is as far as on our political side, where we are, where they got they say the state of the nation of Black America. You know, we have a state of the nation of white America, but what is this, the state of the nation of Black America? We have to concentrate on ourselves and doing all the things we need to do and stay studied. A lot of people study. I belong to an organization called ACT Production, Afro-Americans for Cultural Traditionalism Productions. We are a study group. We study laws. We are part of an organization that is a living arts and sciences. Life is a living art and science. Things that are happening with us in a black America, as far as with the presidential election, things around the world, as far as these things that show privilege, white privilege, all over this country, and we try to extend ourselves internationally. That's what we need to do. We want to do. We want to reach out to all our brothers. And from Kentucky, my viewpoint is that I'm here in Kentucky in the, what I would call, on the Mason-Dixie line, you know, in an area that at one time had one of the largest military organizations, black organizations, but yet half of it was enslaved. But there was no major revolt of that army. So sometimes we look at where we are and we have to say, hey, you know, and look at the people and say, we have to deal with the people where they're at and where they come from. But as long as there are some of us that are stronger, that keep things into perspective, you know, that's what has to happen. We have to keep things into perspective and move forward. Now, here in Kentucky, Brother Akbar and I, we talked about Mitch McConnell. We have Rand Paul. We have some of those, some of the most heinous individuals in the country. But we have to stay our ground, you know, stay our ground. We have to stay where we are and deal with it and not give them an inch. And one thing that I see is that through our studies, they're using a lot of laws that came in during the Reconstruction time to go after people. And this is the things that we need to do. We need to get more into our books, look back in our history, and start building up a stronger foundation, or shoring our foundation up, and making sure we're ready for these when they come after us, make sure that we're ready for it. And we make a good stand with things, with knowledge, with everything. You know, we are men by any legal means necessary. They would say, well, men by any means necessary. No, that means we're men by any legal, because it's legal for us to strive for what we need to strive for. Brother was talking earlier about we say back during the Reconstruction period that a lot of the black officials came into office. We need to start looking at that. We need to start going for putting it together to run and getting into office and start pushing our own laws forward. We need to get into the court system to start taking people to task, because we are a legitimate group of people. We can go to the Library of Congress and find out information on who did what to who, you know, and this is the thing that I'm most, you know, proud of, that our legitimacy as black people, our intelligence also. So I'm not going to go on any further. I'll let Brother Arkboy take over. I'm somewhat excited about being back on the scene. But I thank you. I thank you, brother.
Thank you, beloved. We're just fired up on all the stuff that's been going on with the regeneration of black power and black unity, and Brother Stoudrish here, and Sister Truth Bay, and Brother Black Lightning. Oh, man, we got K.D. Walt and all those talented brothers down south in South Carolina. And Chicago, we got Black Switchblade, our National Minister of Education. And we got Dr. Umar Johnson, our International Minister of Education. It's just so broad. I mean, we got about 10 soldiers up and down from Sacramento and on back to San Francisco, Oakland, on down to San Diego. We got some California rep up in here. And we never had that in the day of the original party. You may have some soldiers here, some soldiers there.
But we didn't have those soldiers everywhere, like, you know, just drop of the hat. You got some Tulsa, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, that's strong in our corner. You got St. Louis, but you also got East St. Louis. Oh, my. Oh, yes, we do. And I'm just saying to you, Kansas City, stuff we didn't have. El Paso and San Antonio with some commanders and some command posts out there. And people's not fucking around. We're not joking around. Matter of fact, we joined, teamed up with the cats and no fuck around, right? That's right. The NFA, we out here strong, brother. And we represent strong. We love hard. We live hard. I mean, what the hell? Might as well go hard because soft is not going to make a difference out here. If you soft on the opposition, you won't make it too long in the camp with a captain like the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Because he's going to be cracking the whip, and if you in the way, he will crack your ass as well. So just get ready for the roughness of the ride, and know that you're on Black Power Radio. We're giving you more of what you actually listen to radio for, and let me see if I can pull up a comrade or two and see what they're going to do, and let's see if we can pull him in. So he's usually right there by your radio and giving you more of what you listen to your radio for. And then we have the most informative radio talk show on the internet, on your smartphone, dumb phone, and some use the Android, others use the paranoid end of their Android phone. Oh my, that's creating a new group, because you have your Android, you have your paranoid, then you have the paranoid that uses the Android, because there are many paranoid. The iPhone users had made up most of the population of paranoid folks. But now you got Android users who happen to be paranoid. So with all that said, we just say, by whatever means you came to Black Power Radio tonight, we're just happy. We're so damn glad that you did, and we're happy to bring you more of what you listen to radio for. And we have the information, the updates, and we're going to be talking about the Black political convention. It has been up, down, and turned upside down, but hasn't been delivered in modern times. So we go into the bowels of antiquity of our politics and pull up the Black convention, which came to Newark, and you had some, the Detroit mayor was there. The Indiana, the Newark mayor was there. And all of these great politicians from, I think you had some Dick Gregory, from Jesse Jackson to Messi and Messi Wessie, everybody was there that should have been there. And I don't think anybody skipped out on that particular convention. And that was one of the amazing things. They had such a diverse a group of we the people, and it could be historically one of the most diverse group of Black people that have ever come together. And what can we do to spark that, to bring that Black again to the forefront for the Black agenda, to get all Black people inclusive, say, for instance, I mean, on the issue of reparations. If Black people are responsible, are the inventors of most of what runs the modern world, has been invented by Black people. Oh, it's not just the folding chair, Sherlock. And we've got the filament in the light bulb. That's Lewis Latimer. We have the street traffic light. That's Gary T. Morgan. And the list goes on and on and on and on, from Neil Young to the real McCoy. All of these great inventions came out that were brainstormed by Black people. And we must stand up to get our patents, to get paid in full, to get restored, to get reparations. Because if those guys were able to invent these things that operate the modern world, from the steam engine to the steam iron, from the iron board, they said they were in there before Wooden Tooth Henry Ford. Yeah, we had some things about these automobiles, but we certainly did invent the spark plug. And we certainly did, believe it or not, we invented that folding chair. I have yet to get over the folding chair, and we're still in the laboratory working on our AI folding chair. The one that when the Eurasians and the Caucasians get out of line,
this chair, remotes, yeah, it can be handled remotely, but it has an autopilot. When they begin to double cross we the people, the folding chair will begin to whack their behind and whack them until they get in line. It's on autopilot at that point. So we are here just moving and grooving with what we know. And the facts are that black people are the scientists that we found in Benjamin Banneker, the inventor that we found in Benjamin Banneker, the surveying engineer that we found in Benjamin Banneker. And he's just one scientist with all those features. But think if we gave Benjamin Banneker and Garrett T. Morgan 5 more acres of land, a few more million dollars to exploit their genius and their potential, they would assuredly surpass the opposition. And that's why we've come here tonight, to demonstrate that we're able to socially and politically surpass the opposition, meaning the white man. Donald the Duck Trump and Joe Biden has nothing on our leading activists, academically, socially, politically, intellectually. We are smoking the opposition. We just like the MJ go out there to play Larry Bird or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Larry Bird, a bad man. But with MJ finished stroking that behind, he'll know he got well and slam dunk very well. And this is how we're doing with the engineers, with the scientists and the inventors and the IT and the AI and the metaverse and the universe. And, oh, we're just stretching out in our, yeah, we're getting ready to go on our A game. And we just want you to set back. Now buckle your seatbelts. Now set back again and just enjoy the ride. Because you're live here tonight, Power Radio. I'm going to see if Mr. Stout, if he has any more, I'm going to reach back for him so I can go in the studio. I'm going to reach out for Black Lightning and see where he is. Or if he would give me a call if he's on the other line. I'm going to pull up me some Black Lightning to get me into the studio. Let's see. Mr. Stout, do you have any comments on the Black Convention back in with the 80s with all of the Black politicians and leaders showed up in Newark, New Jersey? And we had Richard Hatch and all of those were gathered. Yes, sir.
You know, most of them I know that you I'm in that age group. I know a lot of them that you're talking about. And like you said, there were intellectuals that, you know, we had men of all kinds, black men, in every field. And that's what we need to do. That's what we have to do. I recently watched Martin Luther King and Muhammad Ali and some other brothers that got together to talk on something. And the guy asked them, what were they talking about? But they got together and talked about something that they needed to talk about that other people didn't need to be a part of unless they were going to help the situation. So that's what we need to do. And with these brothers, that we look out to the brothers. We if you are a king in that aspect, we bow down to you. So let the kings rise up. Yes, sir. I'm not going to talk much more. Are we still on, brother?
Yeah, I'm right back with you, Mr. DeWalt. And let me see if I can reach back for Lightning. I got Mr. Walt in the queue in North Carolina. So let me pull up Black Lightning and see if he's ready. Let me give it a shout here. Let me try that out. Okay. You all right, Mr. Stout?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. So the deep history of Kentucky
has been the Kentucky bluegrass and all of those different things that happened. They give you what, Daniel Boone and David Crockett somehow rolling through Kentucky, and all of those great ones that came out of there. There was some Black Long Ranger that came through that way at some point.
Yeah, we
Buffalo Soldiers rolled up in there.
A lot of the history of, I guess, most people that come through Kentucky, they don't realize the number of, because of the industry of coal, that the number of blacks that are here and were here, and some of their contributions to Kentucky. I don't know if you can still hear me, but you spoke of Garrett Morse, the guy out of close to Lexington, Kentucky. At this time, Garrett Morse had been at that stop sign.
Go ahead.
Now, we don't know if Garrett might have, if he had not invented that stop sign, we might be better off, because, you know, the arrogance of some people would cause them to run into each other. They just keep running red lights. So maybe he did a lot of people a favor. So we have to look at that and say, hey, you know, guys, he did you a favor, because the arrogance of some people, not black people, would cause themselves to actually destroy themselves. Boom. So these contributions to Kentucky and the world, you know, there were a few in Kentucky. And as far as one of mine, like I spoke to Brother Arkboy earlier about some of the family members that were fought in with the 369th during World War One.
I'm on the radio.
That fought during World War One. So, you know, we talked on that the contributions were there, but a lot of people don't realize those things. As far as the brother Muhammad Ali, I always speak about international. We need to extend ourselves. We do have brothers all over the world, and we need to let that be understood, that we have brothers all over the world that are working. You know, as far as what they used to say, the tribes coming together, and in the aspects of that's what we need to, these conventions, we do need to have smaller conventions and larger conventions. But I'll get back to you, Brother Akbar.
All right, Brother Stout, he's right there in Lexington, Kentucky, and you've just been joined by Brother Kay DeWalt out of the Carolina regions, and he's doing a great thing in that state. And he's going to wake it up for a few minutes as I go into the studio. And welcome, Brother Kay DeWalt. You're live on Black Power.
Black Power, brothers. Black Power.
Black Power.
Yes, sir. I was having a little talk to my daughter tonight, and we were talking. She had introduced me to one of her boyfriend over the phone, man, and it was a lovely thing for me to really sit down and get to talk to my daughter's boyfriend, and we have a great conversation. The conversation was about black love and black unity, and that within itself was beautiful tonight for us to come together collectively and talk on a new realm of the elder and the youth coming together collectively, building some type of network and bridge the gap. We're trying to bridge the gap and bring that black love and unity amongst everybody that's in our black nation. And that's one of the most wonderful things that I was feeling tonight. And I'm sorry that I came on like that, but that's just the feeling that I know I have to have when I say black love and black unity. Because when you got black love and black unity, trust and believe me, that black love and black unity is black power. And that's what we need and that's what we definitely need. But on a new note, I want to say some things to the listeners out there, black family. I just want to let y'all know that we're going to win together. We're going to win together. And as long as we keep ourselves in a tight netted and trusting each other to do the right things for each other with love, because love's got to always be in the mix. It's always got to be in the mix. And we got to love one another as black people, because we all we got. If we don't come together and know that this system, the way it's socially set up, the way it's economically set up, the way it's deterred some of us psychologically and tore our families down. It would only be right to have that empathy to show each other and love one another and bring each other together collectively for one common goal, and one common goal only. And that common goal got to be black unity, because we're not going to go nowhere. And I'm going to have to relate back to one of what one of the brothers said, and that was the brother, Minister Louis Farrakhan, a brother that I love dearly. About give my life up for the brother, because I know what his approach for us as the people of God and the way he illustrated towards us to do the right thing as young black men for our families. Because it's all based off the nuclear family, the black man, the black woman, and the black child. Because you know it's a new day. It's a new day for us. And as long as we stick together, we're going to build that tight-knit nation. That nation that we need to be in a tight, independent way. And please know we can't allow no one to deter us from the goals that we must stay on course to do. We must do this. And I appreciate all like-minded brothers out there that's doing the work, because you got brothers out here on the front line that got a willingness to put their life on the line for us to do the right thing and bring us into a new reality. And that's showing black love and black unity. We can't be haters of ourselves. We've been hating for too long. We done had this white man hating against us for the last 468 years. What more do we have to see? Do we have to keep on letting our youth like Tamir Rice get killed? Our sisters like Sandra Brett Bland get killed? And even the brother up in New York, Eric Garner, killed behind enemy lines, and we don't have the fortitude to put ourselves together and do what's right? You have to be insane not to know that this is only the real reality that black people face. So with that, I'm a yield, because I love black people. I love black people. I love black people. And I see that if we unify, come together collectively, we can't do nothing but have the independence and love and reteaching our people what we need to reteach them in order for us to be civilized black men and women. And I think we got enough intelligence in our black family to do what's right and put us on that righteous path. And I say that with love. And I say that with black love and unity. And with that, I yield to the brothers and let them know that this is the only way we can ever get over that mountaintop. That's the only way we can get over it, through unity. So I'm asking brothers tonight, all the gang members who say if you love your mama the way that I love my mama, or you love your father the way I love my father, you better know the only way is to unify and bring us all together as one. Because we at the mountaintop, all we have to do is cross over. Black power. Black power. Black power. Anybody else want to? I yield to Nick's brother online. I'm sorry, I got a little passionate about that. I am so passionate about loving black people.
Black power. So we've got a shout out by Mr. Bell, and you're going to join by the rest of our vast listening and participating audience as soon as I get to the studio, which will be in 1 minute. Are you still there with us, Brother Sy?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
I enjoyed listening to the brother. Like you said, the passion that he has and that the ideal he speaks the truth. I had my stepdad and he used to tell us that we had a big team. He said that all we needed was a little more love for each other. We could do anything. We just need
to
each other. And we can move on. It's not a matter. We're not after. We've been past that stage of wanting everything. Some of us do, but most of us know what we want now and what we need. So we're coming back around, you know, and on every stage that all of us work at our own talents and bring those tribes back together. Yeah, we have Smiths, we have warriors, we have artists, we have musicians. You know, we want to hear from them all. And let your voice be heard, because some people say that they understand. They say, well, how did these people, great people, build a pyramid? You know, and my aspect of it is that I believe that through their voice, the tones of the voice, the rising of the voice of the people lifted stones. It changed the. The vibration of the we vibrate
the frequency.
We make the world move.
Yes, indeed.
The frequency we'll build, and we are feared because of that. But we need to do that. We need to not have fear or anybody tell us that we're not what we are. Because
yes,
we need to tell other people that when we run into a situation, that they do need to bow down.
You better believe that.
Bow down. And that's what we're saying today. We're not here playing around. We're saying it's time to keep on rising.
That's right.
Show your talent. Create. But I'm gonna give it to the brothers and let the brothers, I mean, we're all enthusiastic tonight here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm you know, like I said, down here, I'm down in, I got my people down here in Kentucky, you know, and they're enthusiastic, and you know, we want to all get together, like the brother said, this convention, as far as with the convention, we need to make plans. I know that they had been to Wall Street. The year that they went to, that was back in, what was that, 2019, that everybody went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, Wall Street. And, you know, I think we need to keep on making plans and doing that, get together.
Yes, sir.
And every event that we have, we need to get together, make another step. But I'm gonna let some other brothers talk. I'm not going to.
That's the building.
Hear this stuff, because I'm enjoying myself.
Yes, sir. That's good. I'm glad you say that, brother, because it's the building. That's the building stones to our great ancestors who really built the pyramids. And if we keep on using and jump into the spirit of our ancestors, we can do anything, especially with the brothers and sisters coming together collectively. We're a powerful people. We're God's people. And when you get down into the rhythm of us, because we're rhythm people and we're inspirational people, all we need is the information. It's going to download into our DNA regardless,
right?
Because we are those people. And I'm glad to be able to be on Black Power Radio and listen to like-minded brothers and sisters. It inspires me. It helps me realize that I'm not out here alone. And it's good to know that you're not out here alone with brothers, that you can really count on to do the work that needs to be done. And that's where we at in this chapter of the last chapter that we have to face. It's almost over. All we have to do is walk into our real reality of being great people again, like God intended us to be. Black power.
Black power. Black power. Power to the
black
people.
Black power. Black power. That is with a strong black military to black that call at this hour for black power. And as we were all listening to our beloved brother, as he was giving you all of these updates and insightful information, we know that we're here for a definite purpose. When we look at the black political convention, and when we look at what is actually taking place in Newark, and we've got all of these black men on the line, and our black sisters, I think, has joined us. I think we got our comrade and sister, the Queen Warrior Empress Filet, has come in from Philadelphia to deliver more good news on the million Woman March, as well as the international movement that has been sparked from the local movement to a national movement that has grown to an international movement. Welcome, Sister Empress Filet, and talk black to us. Talk to us about the Black Convention and all of those wonderful things that have come to you since you started your new journey. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Yes, Ma'at Hotep. Thank you, my brother. I really just called to let you know that some of our brothers will be calling in very shortly. They're going to start their regular bi-weekly Zoom meeting for the what we call the serious Brothers in Support of the Million Woman World March. So I just want you to know that they will be calling in a little later on, if that's okay with you, just to, you know, let folks know what it is that they're going to be doing in support of the Million Woman World March. And I just want to remind everyone that for Sisters for Friday, we begin one of our first official pre-launching sessions. We'll be on Zoom at 7 o'clock, and it is for what's known as the Commission on the Status of African Women North America. There's not been anything like this before that includes sisters on the grassroots level. Most of these types of things are pretty much relegated to the professional arena and the corporate arena and so forth. You rarely see sisters that are considered like on the grassroots level and so forth involved in United Nations kinds of things. So we created a component to make certain that all of our women, no matter what their education or profession or whatever is, they need to have as much capability to be involved as any of our sisters. And so we've created, again, the Commission on the Status of African Women North America. That will connect to the Commission on the Status of Women, which is, of course, an official United Nations entity. In March every year, women from all over the world go to the United Nations. There's two weeks that they hold sessions every year. For March this year, it's called the CSW 68, which means they've had 68 sessions. And again, this is women from all over the world. So this year, when our sisters come in from Tanzania and Kenya and Nigeria, because again, this is an opportunity for a lot of our women to be able to travel to the U.S. Because it's an official United Nations kind of gathering. Well, this year, we've created our own welcoming for the women that come in from the diaspora, and we'll be doing something in March called African Women in White, Hands Around and Across the United Nations and the World. And so sisters are going to be holding hands together in white for self-determination, equity, political power, and, of course, liberation and justice. And so we'll definitely keep our Black Power family, aware of what the actual date is, because we've got to get a clearance, because anytime you do gatherings around places like United Nations, you unfortunately have to go through a process of protocol. So as soon as we know the official date in March, we'll definitely make sure that everyone knows that. But again, this will be historic. It's our first step in establishing the first global movement for women and girls of African descent. And brothers, please know that you are very instrumental in what we're doing. We are depending on you to support us in whatever way, but particularly security, transportation logistics, and other kinds of things that we'll be conveying to our brothers, that we are expecting them to step up, show their support, show their love. We're talking about raising up the mother of civilization. So this is something that every Black man can relate to. And with that, we're introducing for our sisters rites of passage programs for the young ones and the older ones, so that our women can begin to know who we are as the Black woman, as the original woman. And so we're going to provide training sessions, information sessions, workshops that will be ongoing. So again, this is not just a march. This is the launching of a global movement. And I dare say, Again, for those that do not know, we're literally creating something that we also call the United Nations of African Women.
Yes, ma'am, that's like power. That's like power,
brother. By all down.
Yes, indeed.
That we were able to bring a new component to the network, to the forefront, to add to the National Black Convention, as well as the Million Woman March International, a new component of men that support the women's movement, that supports the showing in action the black man and the black woman working cooperatively in an organization within a structure. And it's one of the few times that it's been known, at least on record, multiple organizations have come together to support the black woman, and in turn, the black woman is supporting the black man.
Add something to this, because one of the assignments that we have given to our brothers is, because again, this is an ongoing process, and it helps us to organize and mobilize all over the U.S. and to the world. But what we're asking our brothers to take some responsibility is, as we're building with our sisters and helping to raise them up and put them on a better mission and frequency, a lot of our women have sons, grandsons, nephews, etc. So with that said, we're looking for real black men. We call this our brotherhood. We have a sisterhood, but we need to make sure that we have a brotherhood in place, because again, a lot of our women have males in their lives, but there's not often a real strong presence of a black man, that's there. So we're going to make sure that we create integrity, courage, strength, representation of the black man, and keep that as a component for our movement. And in that way, when we need to build things, which we're asking our brothers to, make sure you develop rites of passage for these young brothers, 7 to 18. They need warrior training. They need how to know how to survive. They need to know how to fix things of that nature. So we're asking our brothers to develop the programming. Why should we? We should have to do that. You see, and we're not going to. We're calling out our brothers and say, we have young brothers. We got sisters that have young brothers and older brothers. The other component that Million Women World March and Movement is doing, that we're asking our brothers to be involved in, and that is to work with the men that are coming home, what they call returning citizens. They should be coming home to black men, returning into the system, you see. So, again, a cadre that is our brothers. This is one of the things we are expecting our men, our brothers, to do, and we call them serious brothers in support. And serious is S-I-R-I-U-S, because we stated you all, as black men, you represent brilliancy. And anyone that's familiar with the star, known as the Sirius star, that's the second brightest star in the visible sky for the human eye. So we relate to our brothers as the serious black men, the brilliant black men.
Right. I mean, exceptionally brilliant. I have run into some men lately right here in Washington, and I'm just saying that if there's a brighter star in the universe, I'm still waiting to meet them. And we got some brilliant black men on the ground in D.C. that come to tour D.C., and brilliant researchers all over the nation. I don't know anything you can compare to it. I'm looking at these brothers, listening. You sound like the guy that was, are you in the chicken of that guy that invented the traffic light? Or
that's right.
Are you related to that guy that came with the steam engine and the steam iron?
That's
one
right.
Guy said, I said, did you invent the cotton gin? He said, no, we got something new on that. He got some metaverse cotton gin. That's metaverse, you understand? Folding chairs, because I have my own private invention on the folding chair that goes on automatic pilot. the opposition or the Asian or the Eurasians get out of line, it's just cracking them on the head automatically. That's going to be the new folding chair. So to leave that invention for Sheikh Imam Akbar, he's got it. His team has got it in the laboratory, and we'll be out with our, I think our 24 to 25 model will be on the market soon. So
all right.
Don't you count us out of the race. No, don't you dare. Maybe down. That'd be damn if we out. But we're glad to have you all here on Black Power Radio. Are you there, Black Lightning, here on this end of the line? I think he came in with me. Okay. He, that's it. He's absent. He's absent. When I call upon him, sometimes he's there. But he's somewhere in the atmosphere, no doubt. He is around. So, therefore, I will yield to you all. You got about three or four on this line, and we're going to link you all to the studio right now. And
well,
so just give us a minute.
I've got to go, but again, some of the brothers are going to be calling in shortly. Is there a better time you want them to call in?
Man, they are perfect. If they're calling in right now, they are in a perfect position.
Well, they have a meeting. No, they won't call in until their meeting is going to start in about 20 minutes. So after after they get their meeting started and get everybody in, because they're going to be on Zoom, but they're going to call in to your program. So it won't be until like close to 10. But if you wouldn't another time, I'm sorry.
And they got power from 10 until 11. They can rock the mic.
Okay, I'll let them know. All right.
So, thanks for sharing. And thanks for being there as always.
Love y'all, Black.
I love you, Black, more.
Yeah,
you already know. We give you more of what you listen to Black Power Radio for.
Yeah.
We're here at Black Power Radio. Again, if you're on Android, paranoid, schizophrenic, whatever means you came in, if you got a paranoid phone tonight, just buckle your seatbelt, sit back and enjoy the ride because you're live right here on Black Power Radio, and we have the most informative radio talk show on the internet. If you got us, and some of it we forgot, we left out. They've been calling up. And they're about to throw the rotten tomatoes at us, and we have left out those folks that came in on their laptops. So if you have a laptop tonight, or maybe some of you came in by the way of your desktop, it's okay. You can still sit back and enjoy the ride on your desktop. But all those people in your drop top, we heard from some drop top people tonight, and they had a drop top Jaguar, a drop top Ferrari, and a drop top Mercedes-Benz. Now, how are you going to beat that here at Black Power Radio? So all the drop top people, we want to tip our hat and our kufi to all of you who have joined us from drop top, laptop, and desktop tonight. So all of our computerly astute people and all of those that are all over our metaverse at this hour, we just give you black power with a strong black military to actually black that call for black power. We are pro unapologetically black. And we have nothing to apologize to the opposition for. So he and that will call no holds barred. Come on, who came off the mic? The wheel call no holds barred, invented by the opposition, who took a hard line position against justice, freedom, justice, and equality, and equal distribution of wealth, equal distribution of justice, and he stood to block you from going into the school of your choice, the place of your choice. We hope
I'm
you
here.
Guys live. We've been trying to last through this brother all evening. I hope we got him at the mic at this point. We got Black Lightning, hopefully, in the host queue.
Already.
And you can talk black to us. Was somebody coming off the mic just before Black Lightning?
No. Maybe.
Well, drop it like it's out. All live right here on Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Black Power, just like you say in the old days, they say, who dropped that dollar? Ain't nobody answer? I'm going to spend it. Oh, boy. It's been something. Oh, man. We live this. We truly live this, y'all. So hopefully we lead by example, and, you know, at least we try, you know. Sometimes it's going to be a good example. And then sometimes maybe somebody might have just crossed the line that we don't do too well with the oppressors. You know, I mean, we do well, but not nicely. At least me, I don't. But I wanted to tell y'all about Memoirs of a Black Panther. When I'm doing my night patrols out here, come across a lot of homeless camps, you know, because you be looking for the homeless, like where the homeless at? They not out on the streets, you know, see nobody. So maybe they're in the homeless shelters, you know. So when I go out here and I give them pizzas with the drop top bins, and chicken and potato salad and stuff like that, you know, I said, wait a minute. Can't go around these people with no drop-top bins, and they ain't got nowhere to go. So I just start riding my bike, you know. So I give them a little more love, a little more inspiration, and sit out in the parks with them, you know. Get to know their names, you know. But that's the hardest part when you go looking for people out there, and you say, yo, where what's his name, you know. And they be like, oh, man, he died, you know, hypothermia, you know, out there in the cold, you know. So I asked one guy, I said, why don't y'all go to the shelter? He said, well, you know, some of us are wanted. I said, oh, yeah, damn, I ain't think of that, you know. And so they got a lot of homeless camps where they live in the woods. I know this is not the subject, but it's on my heart real heavy, and I can't just sit there and watch them, you know. So, like, let's say, go slower. I'm out here doing my night patrols on my bike instead of in a drop top bins. That works a lot better. I can hit the alleys. I can go through, paths, dirt paths and go through the woods. And I look up and I see all these homeless folks living in tents, and they're not good tents. I shouldn't even call them tents. They makeshift things where, you know, you get these plastic tarps that you use when you're painting and stuff like that. I look and they got clotheslines with these tarps on them, and I'm like, they're doing the best they can to survive, you know? And I'm like, wow, look at this, you know? So last winter I used to go to the alley around here, you know, go around the behind the shopping center. And I see people out there, you know, they drinking their beer and stuff, you know. And I was like, you know, and I was, you know, go past, see everybody okay, you know, y'all good, and, you know, say, yeah, you know. And then so one of the guys, he tells me, he said, I don't know, I guess I was talking about music, Fuck the Police, Boozy Badass, you know. And he said, yeah, man, and he said, I seen Boozy Badass, I think he said it in Atlanta. And he said, he had one of the biggest Black Panthers with him I ever seen, you know, older guy. I was like, God damn, he talking about Akbar, our national chairman. So I was like, give me a description. Kind of had a little, you know, gray beard, you know. I was like, yeah, he talking about the imam, you know. I was like, wow, okay. So then I told him, I said, well, that's my squad. And as soon as I said that, he's like, Black Power, you know. And I said, hey, I went back there, and I said, and I had buttons. And I said, I'll tell you what, because he was telling me, he said, well, you know, they got some of these wild, crazy kids that I should be finding and recruiting, but they shooting BB guns at the homeless folks they're living in the woods and stuff, you know. So basically, I went up there and put a stop to that shit, you know. So let them see that there's somebody that's on a bike that will chase you through these woods. Yeah, just to scare them. Hey, you know, just to scare them, you know, make them get a switch, you know, make them get a switch off the tree for them. But make a long story a little bit longer. The guy that wanted the button, and every time he see me, Black Power, you know. Black Power. And he said, loud, too. And he started telling people, say, you know, he's a Black Panther, right? And I said, yo, don't do that. Don't be advertising that like that. Uh-uh, don't do that. But he died. He died from hypothermia. And now I got my eyes on two homeless camps where they're living in the woods. And I'm not going to let that happen a second time, not on my watch. So I did a little research today. And I don't know if I can even read this, you know. it's hard for me. Anyway, 700 people killed from hypothermia annually in the United States. 700, you know? And the mortality rate of a homeless each year has increased by 55%. Let's say from 2,056 people per every 100,000 people, out of that, 1,289 people died in May 2023. And 653,100 homeless in the United States, according to HUD, on December the 15th, 2023. This is the hardest part right here. It's a, excuse me, give me a minute. It's hard to read my writing. At least that's an excuse I'm going to give y'all. Life on the streets is brutal. The lack of secure shelter, food, income, hygiene makes it near hard to read my writing, bear with me, makes it nearly impossible. Let me read that part again. A lack of secure shelter, food, income, hygiene makes it nearly impossible to be healthy. And the life expectancy of homeless is 48 years. Shout out to Sister Lena. She's a Jehovah's Witness sister that won't take help from just anybody. And once you help her, she don't want to be a burden. And she won't go into the encampments with the other people because she don't want, mental illness, drinking, drugs, stuff like that. So she pretty much off to the side by herself, you know, but her tent burnt down. That was hard. So I'm doing a tent drive. So if anybody can, I'm doing a tent drive trying to buy, well, I like to buy the big tent that would hold a lot of people. That's $899 for the tent, and it's like $300 for the top part. And that would be like that could house about 15 to 20 people, you know. But like I say, the sister, she's not going to be over there. So I just went ahead and purchased one for her already. So, but now we got work on the rest of them. Tag tents for the homeless and send that to $77Bakers. $77Bakers to keep Black Power Radio on, keep our black boots on the ground. All the gas money come out of our pockets. Ain't nobody up in here fleecing the people. We don't ask for what we don't need. And we pretty much, we feed ourselves on the road, you know. We pay for the gas, we pay for the food, and most of the time we don't have lodging, you know. So we'll stay at a rest stop or something like that, you know, go in the bathroom and do a little bird bath, you know, put our uniforms on, you know, and hit the line. Half tired, exhausted sometimes, most of the time. I mean, let's put it like this. If you start driving from D.C. at midnight, by the time you hit South Carolina, you might be 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and let's just say the event might start at 11 or 12. There's no time to sleep. And then you gotta hold the line for another, I don't know, 8 to 12 hours, you know. And, you know, you're pretty much exhausted, but we do it for the people. So I thought wrong. I thought I could do it myself, but we can't. We can't do it without the people, you know. So y'all got to, give till it helps. Don't give until it hurts. Learned that from the Imam, Sheikh Imam Akbar. Just give until it helps, you know. But it's going to take a lot of help. Like I say, if I get if I get one tent for this one homeless encampment, that's over. This about, no, I'll say about $1,200. So I need people to give up some hundreds, some tens, some twenties, a penny or a 20. You know, 100,000 be even better. You know, shoot, if we had three people out there that give up a grand, then that means that I have a tent for this homeless camp, and then ride my 30 miles up the road, and I got a tent for that homeless camp. Some people wonder why I ride so much, you know, on my bike. I said, well, I can't drive around these people in the drop-top Benz, you know, with the music blasting and got the top down, you know. I did that. I said, shoot, I'm gonna make being a Black Panther look good, you know. Say, yeah, we productive, progressive, ain't no dummies up in here. And believe me, they always want to paint us as some kind of criminal. But like I always say, if I'm a criminal, I wouldn't be able to go down to the gun shop and buy as much ammo as I possibly can afford. But right now, trade all that in for a nice big tent, you know, for the homeless folks, you know. So I do pretty good with my hands. Always got some parting gifts for the oppressor. That's a cruel joke. Hope y'all got it. Wasn't trying to be cruel, but the oppressors are cruel to us. So are we supposed to be nice to them? Hell no. You know, not in my book. Anyway, but I will say that we have a great leader, and he's a lot more patient than me, you know. Can pretty much get along with just about anybody, you know. Only person I know that got nerve enough to walk past a whole crowd of oppressors and call them crackers and stand there with a megaphone, not leaving. Ain't like we just gonna walk through. Stand right in front of them, you know. Shoot, I'm just saying. That's what we need. And we need a lion on the line, you know? That's why I adopted that name, the Black Ophanim Lion. So we need more lions on the line, you know? Not no sheep, you know, not no lambs, you know? We don't need, you know, I've seen it. And we don't need no splinter groups out there either. We need all the splinter groups to realize that you are a military arm. Can everybody mute your lines, please? Well, that's our military arm, you know. It's like the United Snakes. I got some feedback. Can you mute your line?
We got some feedback for you, Brother Black Lightning.
Okay, I'll deal with it.
On the feedback.
I got to deal with it. No problem.
If you guess, I'll give you a crisp $100 bill if you can guess who's online with us, a special guest tonight.
With the feedback?
No, guess who the feedback is coming from. It's coming live.
That's coming from you.
we got one alive.
Wait. Okay, but before I drop this mic, I just want to say it one more time to help us help the homeless with these tents. I've been posting up every time I buy one. I post it up, and I'm gonna take y'all on a little trip through the woods with me so y'all can see it too. Because I don't want nobody thinking that. Oh, this is what I was going to say. We're not the revolutionaries that hit the line at 8 a.m., raise a lot of hell, and be gone by 12 noon. We're the revolutionaries that show up at 12 noon, and we don't probably leave till the next morning. We boots on the ground like that. Black power.
Black power.
Let me drop that hash. Let me drop that $ sign 77 Bakers one more time. That's $77 Bakers, all capital letters, like patty cake, Bakers, man, give us our reparations fast as you can. And again, because I know some of y'all was just reaching for your ink pen, as I was saying, I should have gave you forewarning. Okay, I'm going to give it to you one more time, but I want y'all to put hashtag Kents for the homeless so we know which direction the money going in. Because it's going in the gas tank, because we got places to go and people to be with. So that's $77 Bakers, hashtag Tents for the Homeless. Black Power, I'll land on that, but I'll be right, Black.
Black Power, Black Lightning, Black Power to all of our hosts. Black Power to Generals Stout and Black Power to DeWalt, Black Power to Truth Bay, and now we got on the line our beloved brother of Sierra Leone in Africa. We're bringing Alfred, the chairman
Black
Alfred, C-Bay online. Black Power, Black Power. Black Power.
Black Power, brother Alfred.
Black Power. Black Power, brother.
Black Power.
Oh, that's Brother DeWalt.
Yes, sir. Black Power, Black Lightning.
Black Power, my brother.
Yes,
that's
sir.
A strong soldier right there, y'all.
Yes,
because that's the one of the ones that's gonna be holding the line when we gone. Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Oh, let's let Brother Alfred in first because he's calling from Sierra Leone.
Black Lightning, are you there? Or can I speak?
Yes, he gave it to you.
Black Power, Brother Alfred.
Okay. Great Black Lightning, long time by General. I'm so happy to speak with my fellow comrades in the struggle. You know, we will continue to fight for our freedom. We never gave up, of course, but it seems like my county here, Sierra Leone, is not on the plane. Even though we are fighting for black people, we have our black, we as black people again fighting each other. There's so much fighting in the politics in my county. Let me just say this, the politics in my county is very unbearable and unfavorable because we are expecting wars. There is war in there is a possibility of war in my country now because the opposition, the incumbents and the opposition are fighting for power. To be honest, I'm presently not in Sierra Leone now. I am in UAE, Dubai. You know, to come and find my living because the situation in Sierra Leone is very hard, very difficult. So I have to move away. So a friend of mine helped me to come here at least to get a better life. Of course, I'm always, I'm always with the struggle. I'm always the chairman, Sheikh Imam Akbar. Of course, I have my team there in Sierra Leone. They are looking up to me and looking up to the chairman, which is Dr. Sheikh Imam Akbar. You know, we will continue to fight for our freedom, and we will never give up. Of course, the 7-7 Bakers, we need to at least, whatever we have to support the movement of what we are doing for the homeless. Of course, we have to help ourselves. If we don't help ourselves, nobody can do it. And again, I'm also looking for an opportunity to come to the U.S. If somebody if any comrades can help me to get a visa, I can help, I can pay for the visa and pay for the ticket to come to the U.S. and join the struggle in whatever way I can. I'm really looking forward to checking my Akbar to see how best he will involve me because I always tell her I want to pay visits at least to get the experience of the United States. Of course, Sheikh Imam Akbar is the United Snake. But I'm so happy to be a Black Panther. And I'm so happy to be in the struggle, and we will continue to fight for the black race. We will continue to push the black movement. We will continue to forge ahead. We will never give up until we get our reparation benefits. We should get it by any means necessary. It is for us. Our forefathers, our ancestors have already laid the platform. They fight. They fight a good fight for us. For us to achieve it now, it is a delay. So we will continue to fight. Much love and respect to Sheikh Imam Akbar, our able chairman, our devoted, committed chairman, who is able always to push things. He can't give up. This is the man. I love him so much. He can't give up. He loves the struggle. He loves.
You must have muted yourself, Brother Alfred. Check your mute button. You cut off.
That was me. Okay. Yeah, go ahead and pick up from where you were, Alfred. I think I have to bring it. I'm cue back. Go back at least one sentence, Brother Alfred.
Okay, sir. Much love and respect to all other comrades, Black Lightning, my lady, Truth Be, and all other comrades that I don't make mention of your, I don't mention your name. We really appreciate you. We're really happy that you'll be part of the program tonight. I'm so happy that we are all here to discuss relevant matters. From here, I will stop. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. I'm always with the struggle. I'm always with New Black Panther Party. I have my team out there in Sierra Leone, Liberia. The Liberia group is scattered now, the WhatsApp group. My team is in Liberia scattered. The chairman is sick, but the group is not functioning. The one in Gambia is functioning. The New Black Panther Party group I created in Gambia is functioning. The one in Ghana, they are functioning. The one in Nigeria has issues, but in Liberia, it's scattered for now. But by next week, I'll try to create a group again with my friends, my comrades there in Liberia, to see how best we can be able to discuss again how to push the black race. Black power.
Black power. Black power. Black power. We want to thank our brother chairman, Alfred Cisse, who is a man who is fighting on the front line for us all over the world to help the effort of regaining our authority, rejuvenation of the black man, woman, and child, and bringing it full circle in the spirit and the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And he's a great chairman and has a great personality, a guy that everyone should get to know, Chairman Alfred Cisse, who is going on an international move to bring the Panther full circle and doing the work. He's on the front line doing the work, and we love him so much right here, not only at Black Power Radio, but nationwide. We love us some Alpha Cisse across all of the United Makes of America, all of those states and cities and city states and rural, what you call the vanilla suburbs, and all of those mixed suburbs and rural areas know the name of Alpha Cisse. So he has talked to all of us. They have been hearing from him, and we're going to try to bring him live. We're going to do everything possible to work with the Sierra Leone embassy and work with all of those on the ground to bring our chairman here so that you can know what is going on in Africa, in Sierra Leone, in Gambia, in Nigeria.
I have a Nigerian brother for him too.
The Liberia chapter is coming up. And the world has to take recognition to the Black Revolution is worldwide.
Black power.
White man. He invented the concept of no holds barred. And if you see us going no holds barred, we're just following suit on the white man.
Some black power.
The goddamn white man. But we at Black Power Radio have no problem managing with the opposition intellectually, spiritually, culturally. He has been nothing but a beast and a master deceiver at every turn in the road, every avenue of human interest, and every ideology you could even fathom. You can bring out of your imagination, and the white man say, I own that idea. You haven't even completed the thought, and he will take ownership of your dreams. This guy, he's just a thief and a robber. Like he said on that movie, just robbing and raping and robbing. That's what they do.
And pillaging.
Sure. Oh, sure. Black Power. Zionists and all of that. That whole group, everybody's fed up with them at this hour. But
I got something.
We thank you, Brother Alpha Cisse.
Wait a minute, don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. So I got something for Alpha.
Got something. Black Lightning got something for you, Alpha Cisse, if he ain't gone. Black Power.
Black Power. Brother Alpha.
You can call him, but go ahead.
I got a troop for you in Nigeria, Brother Ibidionu. Brother Ibidionu have already filled out his application and everything, and I told him I was going to hook y'all up, so I'm going to have to get the number from Sheikh Imam Akbar, and I'm going to hook y'all two up. Black power.
Black power, black power. That's the growth for the black nation.
Black power.
And this is the only thing that can manage against the opposition at this hour. Everything has been tried. And the NAACP, the IRP, the DMZ, we got one at 607. At 607, we want to reach out to 607-677, 607-677. We had a whole list of people here, and we've been shrinking down. So we got to go into our listening audience and pick up a few callers at 607-677. You're live on Black Power Radio. Is 607 still there? 607-607-607 at 677. You're live on Black Power Radio. Trying to kick you in there.
Let's see. Are you there? Can we get any rhythm out of 607? 607.
Calling your area code and first three digits of your phone number so y'all know, and then you'll be off.
607-677-677. Mm-hmm. You're live on Black Power Radio. Black Power? Black Power. We're trying to reach out to them. All right, we're going to let y'all kick it. Brother DeWalt, you still in the studio. Brother Scout, Brother
yes.
Black Lightning, they're all on my line. So any one of you all can try to get some people to call into the studio and try to balance things out so much. So my line, my personal line, won't be held up too much in case someone else calls in. So a couple of y'all try to call in the studio, Black Lightning. You'll be locked into the very same show.
Okay, I'll call into the studio right now.
Call into the studio, and I'm going to bring you right up.
Black Power.
Oh, Black Power, who's that?
Sheikh, I'm going to call Brother Sheikh Akbar. I'm going to call into the studio, too.
You're calling to the studio.
It's
K. Put them all up and get it.
It's K. DeWalt.
The snuff, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Call the studio for some reason. Some of these turns, and Brother Shabaka has been making a big deal of that.
Yes, sir.
That Keith Curry, some like Keith Mobile and some others are teamed up in a manner. They don't allow you to call the studio. So they make you think that you got to pay some outrageous figure just to participate in Black Power Radio.
Oh.
That's how nasty they done got out there, boy.
Yes, sir. I know. I know what you're talking about, Sheikh.
We're going to have a network of our own very soon.
Yes, we will.
If you just buckle your seatbelts and step back and enjoy the ride, we have our own studio with our own lines and our own numbers. Our own metaverse will be going on right here, right here. We ain't got to depend on those guys. We're using it because the majority of our people deal with standard lines, standard stuff. We're going to step it up to the metaverse. Everybody going to be metaverse. Push one button, and everybody's on metaverse. Come on.
Black Power.
Yeah, Black Power. We're not depending on this guy. Stokely Carmichael and H-Rap Brown and Bobby Seale. Huey P. Newton, those guys, man, they didn't think about no metaverse. They didn't have no internet.
No.
They didn't have no social media to occur. Facebook, No Look, Twitter, Glitter. Linked in, linked out. They didn't have no linked out.
I know that's right.
Well, you said, brother, you don't have no linked out either. But you got linked in, and they got you linked in. You bit off too much social media, too much of the glamour from the, from the whirlwind of the internet. Got to slow that down and step up your game. Step your game right on up. And you can see the man who's been crying for there about a million years. And see the woman with a broken heart. She's been collecting broken hearts for a souvenir, don't you know? Oh, my God. So let the sideshow begin and hurry, hurry. And step right on.
That's right.
Step right on in. But you can't afford to pass it by because it's guaranteed to make you cry. And it's got to be no sadder show to see. There's no doubt about it. You're going to get satisfaction guaranteed. We're black in there with black black lightning. And we're 16. We got Sister Tanisha. Tanisha in there? You in there, Tanisha?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Yeah, Black Lightning.
I came in earlier on my
Black
other
Power,
line, so that I'm back on with y'all today.
Black Power. We're getting them all. They're lining up at 6:59.
Black Power.
Tanisha on 6:28. Who we got at
8:59? Yeah, I came in earlier on the 628-9695. That was me earlier today. Oh. I just watched that died. I come back on my other phone.
But you up in here now. I ain't going to lie to you. We got you locked in. Everybody lock it down.
Okay.
At 859-859. Who do we have on 859-396. Who did we just pick up? Yeah, we just picked up an extra caller. Can you identify yourself at 859-396? Who's that?
Okay, this is Brother Style on the other line.
Okay, Brother Style is on your 859? Okay.
Yeah, I called
him
to that line.
Who is the 607? Who's got the 607? Let's see if we can get him to the mic. Let me stumble and fumble a little bit and get 607. Anybody got 607? 607? Who's at 607? 607? 777? Who? Anybody know somebody?
Alma.
607? I know it. Yeah. Sir? 607? 607? 607? We're going to rumble with you anyhow.
So we got most of our star players right here on Black Power Radio and our fast listening and our vast participating audience. Black Lightning, you were going to pick up, and you could chime in Tunisia, and you could chime in at Brother Stout. Go ahead. And K.D. Walt is out here somewhere. You with us, K.D. Walt?
He's Black got Power.
Oh, Black Power. We got most of our – at least we got all of our hosts on. So the rest of you in the universe, just press 1 if you want to speak, if you desire to speak tonight to the Black Political Convention. And what's up with Newark for real? What's up with this place called Newark, New Jersey? A guy named Amir Baraka was a poet laureate. He was a poet for the whole state. Now, his son, Ross Baraka, is the mayor, and so-and-so is the chair and the lieutenant governor and the governor. And it's always something scandalous going on in New Jersey. If it's not in Camden, then it's Jersey City. If it's not on the Garden State Parkway, it's in East Orange. If it ain't in East Orange, it's out in Patterson. If it ain't in Patterson, it must be in Plainfield. If it's not in Plainfield, it must be in Hackensack. If it ain't in Hackensack, it's in T-Nick, New Jersey. There's always something action-packed going on. What's up with the state of New Jersey? It's always something action-packed going on in New Jersey. We have just been joined by our National Minister of Justice, Dr. Critical Race Truth Bay, has joined us, but we got a line full of Dr. Truth Bay, and we got Tunisia, we got Black Lightning, we got K.D. Walt, we got Stout. Stout is on a Stout return in Kentucky. We got Kentucky live on Black Power Radio tonight in Lexington, Louisville, Hooterville, and everywhere else you can imagine, coast to coast. Welcome to the airways, Dr. Critical Race Truth Bay, and she's going to tell you more about this Black political convention and what's really up with Newark, New Jersey, and us, we the people. Assalamu alaikum, and Black Power. Black Power, Black Power.
Black Power family. What is
Black
happening?
Black
Power,
okay.
How we doing? All right. How we doing this
Black
evening?
Black
Nificent. I hope so.
We're good, and you?
How we
doing?
Yes, yes.
All right,
how
so the Dr. Truth, we've had Alfred Sinclair live tonight. And he's there doing some war times in Sierra Leone. We had heard a few words about it, and he had came in and updated us tonight on Sierra Leone. So let's say extra prayers, extra efforts on Africa to get some attention there in Gambia. Chapter growing up in Liberia, and things are moving in Nigeria, in Gambia, and he's starting chapters everywhere he can start them. But Alfred is going to say we must take a hat off to our brother Chairman Alfred. And she's got all the noise and gimmicks and the trumpet is being held by National Minister of Justice, Dr. Critical Race Truth Ray. Black Power, Black Power.
Black Power. All right, so I'm actually traveling, Black family, so it's going to be a little dry today. Our subject for today was a National Black Political Convention, the conference. It was a 3-day conference in 1972, and particularly this conference was supposed to help bring forth a Black agenda. So it included politicians, civil rights leaders, delegates, and even some celebrities. I think Harry Belafonte was there, or even Richard Pryor, if I'm not mistaken, was in attendance in Gary, Indiana. This was in 1972. So this was the largest Black political gathering in the U.S. history up to that point, with a crowd of up to probably 8,000 attendees. This was way before the Million Man March. And so conservatives, all alike on basis, put an effort to build a coalition of Black revolutionaries, moderates, and the conservatives took over. They shared a racial identity. There are some video that we will be covering the whole month of January and Black History Month with the history of the National Black Political Convention. Because there's so much to unpack, we're just going to do the introduction as to why we're even covering the National Black Political Convention and what is the significance of why we're covering it. Well, first and foremost, we always want to highlight in history, folks, the major events when it comes to black empowerment. There's only few far in between national issues or significant points in history that we can highlight, right? You got the March on Washington with Martin Luther King. That was groundbreaking. Just as we mentioned, the Million Youth March, the Million Man March, and the Million Women World March. Those are significant events that continue to have in our community. But what is the point of having hundreds of thousands, or even probably up to a million, right, like the Million Man March, come and gather in a location for us to do what at the end? And this is the big question that we're going to put on the table, see the elephant in the room, to question as to what was the end result of the National Black Political Convention. Again, it started in 1972 in Gary, Indiana. And you had a lot of that was basically after the assassination of Martin Luther King, of course. But the conference was rife in conflict. So this is what I want us to highlight, is the conflict that it brought, the aftermath of the Congressional Black Caucus. As we know about the Congressional Black Caucus, they are a bunch of do-nothing Democrats. They are the face of the do-nothing Democrats. Can we name a couple of do-nothing Democrats that was part of the Congressional? I can name a couple, but we're not going to put them and spot them in the highlight right now because they're not important. But what's important is that what was their function, the Congressional Black Caucus? It was, again, to bring forth the black agenda. And, of course, that hasn't happened. As we see in 2024, we are still discussing the thought and the studies and commissions of reparations. We still haven't seen a dime yet. So the Congressional Black Caucus, they rejected official statements that emerged from the meeting. And nevertheless, the historians, they generally agree that it was one of the most important events in black politics. And that's why the National Black Political Convention should have had not only a better outcome in 1972, but 50 years later, it was supposed to be a anniversary celebration, sort of like the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, right? Black family, you've been hearing that all year last year. And so this 50th anniversary was supposed to happen at, and I'm going to leave it right there. So where do you think the 50th anniversary, which would have been 2022, Black family, just in case we're not too prolific in math, 2022 was supposed to be the 50th anniversary of the National Black Political Convention. Now, I would like to hear from my brothers and sisters, my listening audience, where do you think the 50th anniversary of the Black Political Convention was supposed to happen? Let's leave the mic up because I want to hear from you. All right, Mr. National Chairman. National Chairman or somebody at the mic. I want
okay,
you to unmute
okay.
yourself.
Okay, I think I might
tell
have. I got an answer, but I don't know if it's the right one. But here's my answer right here. That's my answer.
Well, okay. Well, that's a little vague, sir. I see some good disco music, but what is that music?
That was Michael Jackson singing "I'm Going Back to Indiana."
Indiana. Okay, that would have been an ideal answer. Close. Now, what's your thoughts on? As far
Peoria,
as
Illinois.
Indiana, that would have been a good one too, but. We do need our buzzer tonight. But no, but no cigar. So the actual event was supposed to be at none other than Newark, New Jersey. That's right, Newark, New Jersey, the very same area in where we have lost a very great soldier a couple of weeks ago. Imam Sheikh Hassan Sharif. Yes, a beloved activist, boots on the ground, stop the violence, was his theme. that was gunned down in the parking lot of the masjid after his morning prayers, right there, Newark, New Jersey. So this was where the 50th anniversary of the National Black Political Convention was supposed to occur. Now, this is significant because I believe that if Raj Baraka, who is the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, and we're going to actually dive into his background. Oh, yeah, we're going to tear this thing apart, Black family. There is a significant connection as to why we're bringing you this particular area, this particular subject on Black Power Radio. So Newark, New Jersey, had it held the 50th anniversary, what results do you think we would have seen if we had a gathering of the shakers and the makers of Black empowerment all together, not only honoring the ancestors from 1972, but bringing in nuance, ideologies, and resources to one of the most drug-infested, crime-stricken areas of Newark, New Jersey. So, Raj Baraka, we definitely going to break it down for you. And, of course, we're going to invite Raj himself on an upcoming episode on Black Power Radio. So stay tuned for that, Black family, because we're not going to talk smack about this man without him there. Or are we? I think we shall. We shall continue. So Newark, New Jersey would have been a highlight event of the greatest civil rights movement, a consensus. The passage of the Civil Rights Act, which was in 1964, and the Voting Rights Act in 1965, this consensus also disappeared because after these acts were passed, after this event happened, there was no unity afterwards with the people in attendance. A matter of fact, there were mayors that were held in certain cities that became Democratic ran. And amongst them, in Detroit, one of the most, positive areas in – hold on. We got a distraction here. One of the most positive areas before in Black empowerment. And then it became one of the high crime-ridden areas after this convention happened. So it was a tight correlation, Black family, as to
the decline of support for the Black family. It got 10 times worse. So now we see that this National Black Political Convention could have done some good had it been the right people at the helm. But that didn't happen. So the consensus for this, at the same time, African Americans were rapidly gaining political power. And as we said before, Congress started filling up as well as you had Black mayors. So it seemed like we were doing some progress because of the filling in of these Black faces from 1964 to 1978. By 1974, the Black figures have risen up to almost mayors, had taken office in many large cities such as Los Angeles. You had Tom Bradley. Then we have Coleman Young, and that's who we're going to highlight as well. Coleman Young was the mayor in Detroit that actually brought everything down. Then you had Maynard Jackson in Atlanta, and in Newark, you had Kenneth Gibson. In Cleveland, we had Carl Stokes. Now, Carl Stokes, we could say that he has done a little something for Cleveland, Ohio, but still it wasn't enough to put on the map, man. And one of the original activists of the National Black was none other than Roz Baraka's father, Amiri Baraka. So do we see a correlation here, Black family? Is it like father and like son? Amiri Baraka, he was a poet laureate. And during the sessions, and he was pretty activist. I mean, he definitely had the language of Black power down pat.
Good God.
He had the language of Black Power down pat. But what significance was made during all this talk during the Civil Rights era? None. So Black leaders and delegates across the political spectrum were invited to a three-day event from March 10th to March 12th. And then we had about 8,000 attendees and met in the gymnasium at Gary's Westside High School. So any of my family that's in Indiana that's familiar with Westside High School, please give us a shout-out.
Definitely inquiring minds want to know. So in Gary, Indiana, at Westside High School, you had many good speakers, many, many great points in time. But what was the result afterwards? We have yet to find out. So if anybody can remember the National Black Political Convention, some of us, some of our people didn't even know about the National Black Political Convention, even to this day, so, which means that the NBPC did not make a significant change as it should have been. And that's why we're talking about it today, Black family, and we will continue to talk about the coalition of the people involved in this particular convention. Now, it was also the subject of a documentary in Nation Time, which was also in 1972. It was directed by William Greaves and narrated by Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte, two of, I said, of one of the attendees of, but we in the hood right now, so we got to let this music go. The Popo of the Fire Department always coming through. So Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte were two of the most prolific people that was there. For decades, only 60 Minutes edited a version of the film in circulation. So right after, it wasn't that much publicity then. It wasn't that much publicity at the time, and there wasn't publicity much afterwards. So it goes to show that when it comes to Black agendas, they for certain don't want us to have any type of real positive results. And so we want to circle back to the death of Imam Hassan Sharif. One of the things that I very much as a pet peeve is the lack of transparency. And so what we urge for Raj Baraka, the current mayor of Newark, New Jersey, is that he actually does what he's supposed to do with the funding that was given to him to have the 50th commemoration of this very powerful event. As to what happened in 2022, and now we're in 2024, I think this would be very appropriate to have something along those lines and revive the political convention once again with a new face, with young people at the helm. Oh, yes, this is exactly what we want our young people to do as far as revamp the mission. Let's have a concert that day coming up in March. If it's not this year, March of 2025. We have time, but we want this to be in circulation. We want this convention to actually happen. I think it does us a great injustice for us to have people in this position not to execute any type of resources or highlight the need for us as Black people. It does us a great disservice. But again, until we unify and show in numbers, they're not going to see the value of us as Black people. But we know who we are. Ain't nothing more awesome than Black power, that's for sure. Don't get it twisted. In Black power all day. But we have to have something to show for it at the end of the day. So we are definitely going to put the plea in and have our listening audience come on in and chime in on their thoughts as you get more of the details of the significance of the Black Political Convention. The voting strength, both at the Democrat and the Republican Party, in the United States was appointed in the Electoral College. So this was one of the things that they were highlighting at the convention. What was the political strength of black empowerment? So we had more political faces, but we didn't really see the change. As we see with H.R. 40, that has not been passed still to this day. So what we want to do is I'm going to relinquish the leg back to National Chairman Sheikh Imam Akbar, and I want to hear from you, listening audience. What is it that you'd like to see in the revival of the National Black Political Convention 2.0, whenever that may be? How would it be? Where would it be? Should we have it in Newark, New Jersey, as intended? I think we should, black family. I think for the honor of a beloved Sheikh Imam Hassan Sharif, that's the least we can do, is to have something that he really stood for real, for real. So what do you think, black family? What are your thoughts on the Black National Black Political Convention then and future? Black power.
Well, didn't you say it started in Indiana? If it started in Indiana, we should take it back to Indiana, don't you think?
That would be correct. That would be correct, but there was an anniversary that was already in place set for Newark, New Jersey. And
yeah, but that sounds
crazy.
That's like if we do something in St. Louis. Say we do something in D.C. and they're going to have the anniversary in St. Louis. Come on. You know, that's what I'm saying. Let's go back to Indiana. That's in the Midwest. Nice spot. I've been to Indiana. Gary, Indiana.
Well, look at the
Gary, Indiana, let's hear from you.
The footprint in the sand is, again, Newark. Gary has his own song to sing, and it's still much work to revitalize. Gary is still a mission. But Newark, New Jersey has just a special thing to do and so much unfinished business. They have the mayor, Ross Baraka. His father was the poet laureate of the state. And he went on to have some political ambitions, and he became the mayor. But I think there's just so much unfinished business right there in Newark, New Jersey. It's just an unfinished business there. And that's not to cut off anybody that wants to go to Gary, but I think if we took a vote today, it would come back overwhelmingly. Why they would say Newark, and then somebody would say, well, New York, and then they would say, why not Newark? And Newark has it's just been under it's just been criminally neglected by everybody, including the black community, the black man, the white man, the Italians, the Germans, the Jews, and the jocks and the walks and the wops, and everybody's neglected Newark. And I think to turn that back on would do humanity a great favor. They have more than a major airport there. But the services go to help everybody except us, we the people. Mm-hmm. And, yes, we need to see what do we look like as a people, black political convention revitalized or relived or the remake. What does that actually look like? And I learned the wisdom from Muhammad Elijah Muhammad. If you throw an event like that, then you have to be there, right? You have to come there to see what it looks like. Then you know what a political convention or what the revitalization of the black political convention, to see what it looks like, you got to show up. You got to be there or be goddamn it square. So I will leave it to you all at the mic and to more brilliant minds and the greater wisdom will prevail. But definitely it's overdue. Whatever we can do in Newark and whatever we can do to bring black or to bring back the black political convention is long overdue.
I got a question, Black Power. Question for Mr. Justice. Why did they have it in? I mean, what part of Indiana did they have it in the first place? And why was it kicked off in Indiana? And why was it switched? Well, you might not know, but if you do, why would it? I mean, if they kicked it off in Indiana, why would they change it?
Well, that's
you know,
where
what city? What city in Indiana? I just said Gary off the top of my head because I've been to Gary. Oh, wow. I must be psychic.
Oh, no,
or just mental.
I'm cool.
I just said it five times. Gary, Indiana is where the original National Black Political Convention occurred. And so there was no rhyme or reason as to why, but that's just the way it is. So
I mean, was it successful?
One leg.
Was it successful in Gary, though?
Because I think they
let me give you a leg. There were a few. There was a handful of let me see. Somebody's talking to me. I don't
yeah, somebody got their TV on. Everybody mute their lines or turn your TV off.
Yeah, everybody mute out at once.
Mute your lines, please. Turn your TV off. We hear it in the background.
Precisely is this. There were a handful of black mayors. Mayor Coleman Young of Detroit. And we had a mayor in Cleveland, Detroit. Gary, Indiana, and
mute your lines if you're not talking.
And much of that was like the new political guy on the block, mayor of Tom Bradley of Los Angeles, was a major political figure. The rise of black mayors in America, including Mayor Marion Barry, were all new players in the game of politics in America. And so those conferences, the mayors would come together perhaps to make that decision on where. And I think that the political convention was a black political football and who could catch the ball, hold the ball, and go into the end zone. And they decided that Newark, New Jersey would be the greatest influx of getting it or the greatest possibility of getting it into the end zone or to score up some political points for black people. And the city was, predominantly a chocolate city. I don't know why they didn't call a half a dozen cities black chocolate city before D.C., but Washington, D.C., a chocolate city, again with a black mayor, Walter Washington, and eventually black mayor Marion Barry, who made all types of history. And there were gains being done in Newark. And then there was Kenneth Gibson, and there was a couple of others. But Coleman Young was the most dynamic political leader of the Midwest, of the Central or Midwest. I just can't say enough about it. He was a dynamic individual, but he ran the city, and he had power, and he had black power. So I'm looking for somebody. Somebody's got some noise somewhere. So we just zap y'all until we hear the noise stop. That might have been it. I just zapped the noise.
Already.
If you hear some noise, it's just them and the boys. They're black or they're back. We're going to find it, though. We're going to find the noise. Trust me. Black power.
Can everybody just mute your line?
Okay, black power, didn't it? Okay, could be very well. Someone on, Brother Keith, are you there? I'll get him to call the studio. I got to switch this line. Need him to hang up and redial. I think Brother K. DeWalt, Brother Kevin DeWalt, you need to.
Black power.
Could possibly be coming off of your line, sir. Wherever it's
I
want you to mute up y'all and keep it going. But we're talking on the subject of where, when, and how should the National Black Convention, where should it reconvene? And why? That is a stimulating, pertinent cross-examination question that we're putting on the table here at Black Power Radio. And we'd like to hear from you. Get your answers. Get your feelings, your sentiments at 515-605-9889. Again, for all who are numerically pure at heart, try 515-605-9889. However, if you are not able to dial 515-605-9889, then please do call 202-550-8521. Again, we'll give it to you once more at 202-550-8521.
2-1. And I'm going to let y'all take it up to the top of the key and drop a 3. Don't you know, don't you know. We'll give you more of what you listen to Radio 4, Black Power.
Black Power. I just want to say one quick thing that Gary is a little ghost town because I've been through there. But it's nestled in between two big cities because you got Chicago on one side and then you got St. Louis on the other side. But, I mean, now that I think about it, going through Gary, I was like, man, it's too quiet down there. You want to get it popping? Well, you don't want to get it popping so hard that you go to Chirac. I'm not sure about that part. But I think St. Louis might be a great spot for it. I mean, they party down there, and plus they right in the mid in the mid in Midtown, they got man, it's just hustling and bustling out there. Outside cafes, movie theaters, has been there since I mean, they got movie theaters that's been there 50 years or more, you know. Like the old fashioned one where they used to have a man playing the harpsichord or something like that there. Stan the Man Musical. I remember now. He come up out the floor playing the harpsichord, you know, in between the movies and stuff. That might be a good spot, so I would suggest that. But Gary's a ghost town for real. Black Power. No offense to the people that live in Gary. I'm sure y'all love it down there because it's nice and quiet. Black Power. I'll drop the mic. Brother KD, I know you've been waiting in the wings. Come on up, bro. Love it when this brother speaks. He like a cross between Khalid Muhammad, Malcolm X, and General Schwarzkopf. Black Power. That was my insult when I said General Schwarzkopf. He's the one that told Putin, they like, man, look here, these my troops. He did a Imam Akbar on them. I run the military.
And General, that's a good print across the town. Where is Professor Money Griff, Black Lightning?
Oh no! I try to find him. That'd be my. I do that while y'all talk.
Dig him up and bring him on to the air. We must get some Black Power Radio raise your black fist in the air for those that can't get there. As we continue with our pontification on what will we do with the Black Nation in the social political convention for Black people? Can it be in Newark or should it be in New York? Should it be in Gary, Harry, or Indianapolis? Could it be in Cleveland, perhaps, even in Detroit, Michigan? What will it take to bring Black the whole idealism of a Black political convention? What does that actually look
power
like?
Power to the people.
Black power. Power to the people. Go right ahead. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear from you on this. Certainly it's a ripe, the season is ripe. So let's find out what it takes. What does it take to win your love for a Black political convention? What do you think it's going to take, brothers and sisters? What say ye,
would
Black
it be,
Power?
Would it be the best place to have it?
And then about a half an hour later, she calls on me. I'm not doing that.
All right.
I'm too tired.
You're live on Black Power Radio, and the world knows. Welcome to Black Power Radio, Mama Sherry.
So does y'all have to repeat his name?
If you'd like, yes, absolutely. We were discussing the National Black Political Convention and the significance of that era, 1972 in Gary, Indiana.
I was there. I'm on the front page, me and my mom and my sister. The Gary,
yes,
Indiana.
Yes.
Okay, well, this is a blog talk, right, you're talking about?
Yes, Black Power Radio. You're live on Black Power Radio. Tell us a little bit about the National Black Political Convention in 1972.
In
Indiana.
Yeah, my mom helped organize that. And anyway, I've got a written report on it that I wrote up. So I was there in 1972. Richard Hatcher, the first black mayor of that city, and Carl Stokes, Cleveland, Ohio. And it was wonderful, but it was divided, as usual. They scheduled a follow-up one, you remember, for 1974. Half the crowd came back. Mm-hmm. So I'm on this call to introduce, we are going tomorrow, Sherry Suttles, A for N, my late mother, president founding of Gullah Geechee Group Incorporated here in South Carolina and Florida. And we have a registered agent in Georgia, three of the four states in the corridor, Gullah Geechee Cultural Heritage Corridor. And we are having a half an hour session with the staff of Congressman James Clyburn, who created that corridor and who also is attributed to having got Joe Biden nominated when he came here. They weren't even going to nominate him for president if it wasn't for Clyburn. And then he got elected. And we're asking, along with Dr. Truth Bay, for what we call an executive order for a reparations covenant, ARC, like Martin Luther King said 50 years ago, we shall overcome, but the arc of moral universe bends long towards justice. And what we need is for Jim Clyburn to go to Joe Biden and sign this executive order for reparations before the February 3rd primary, the first in the nation, that's the name of the dinner. This Saturday, he will be here, and we're going to hopefully get that executive order from him on Saturday. Here's the importance of it. These gentlemen live here in Columbia now. They come from the Gullah Geechee, I guess the highlight parts of it, right? Mosquito Beach, aren't you from? And Travis?
Charleston.
Charleston proper. Okay, so this is our elder, mine too, by about 6 months. and these are his two mentees. And we're taking the two mentees to this meeting with Clyburn. Why? The next generation, me and my 76-year-old, his and his 77, we need the 40-year-olders and the 30-year-olders. So introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Yao Owusu Sagopemi, blacksmith, Babalao, Roots Charleston, John's Island.
And is a drummer and a life everlasting
drummer,
herbalist,
blacksmith, herbalist, and artist.
Right. And they're going to bring some of the blacksmith work that he does. Small pieces.
That's
he can sell them for $10,000, okay, but we're just going to show Clyburn the little $20 one, right, or $200 one.
Yeah, it's more than
$20. Even the small ones.
Sounds good.
And this is you're the eldest of the mentees, right, Travis?
Yes. And I'm also president of Low Country Blacksmith Society. So that's another. My name is Travis Lamar Greenmore L. is my name, and president of Low Country Blacksmith Society. I'm also an artist, musician, historian, and definitely working towards getting us some just due here.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Yes,
peace and blessings, brother.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Okay,
now we were
lovely. Wait a minute, his lovely wife is an herbalist, what do they call him, brown bear or something?
Yeah. My wife and I are herbalists. We have a website called Brown Bear Naturals. So we have brownbearnaturals.com or brownbearsoaps.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we do all kinds of herbal products, natural soaps, body butters, and also herbs that we gather from the region, all on our website.
And all these three have been participants in our Mende Film Cultural and Arts Festivals in Miami and Fort Lauderdale and so forth. Okay, and this is the last but not least. He's the youngest of the mentees. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm Tyler, but they call me Ty. And I'm a princess under Shango. I specialize in welding, painting. And I have various different trades, also herbalist, naturopath.
Yes.
my website and stuff ain't out yet, but you know, I'm working on that part. So
yeah, of course.
That's the first thing I said. Prince's blacksmith under the great Shango, which lineage under Philip Simmons. So yeah.
And he
Thank you, we need you aboard.
He migrates between Atlanta and Columbia here. So
beautiful.
Okay, so is that
right
the
on,
question?
Right on. But this is a powerful group that you got there, Mama Sherry. I want to hear more I want to hear more about what is their interpretation of Black power. I know Brother L could tell us a little bit. We were just discussing the need for a huge convention, which is why we are highlighting the National Black Political Convention, the original in 1972, and why that did not break any significance to this day. So can tell us a little bit about what your thoughts or what you think we need to do. Should we revamp in the Gary, Indiana, or should we do it in Newark, New Jersey as intended for the 50th anniversary? That never happened. I know February 3rd needs to happen. I know reparations or no vote will happen. What's your thoughts on family? I want to hear from each and every one of these great figures that you have with you. Black power.
Well,
probably Travis.
I definitely. I mean, if I'm speaking openly and honestly, you know, I feel like it doesn't necessarily matter, you know, where we are, as long as we begin to understand that, you know, and do some research into why we haven't gathered or gotten what we've been asking for decades on end, and understand who we are, you know, even the misnomers, the you know, that current education that we get taught about as to who we are and where we came from. Because we spoke on this the other day, actually, and knowing ourselves and knowing that we were here before, you know, things like slavery, you know, I can sit back and talk about my grandmother who can tell me all day that, you know, we were Native American. My aunt was a Native American. My great-great-great-grandmother was a Native American. So when did I then become an African American, you know? So that has to be said. So if we're dealing with things that we are owed those things by treaties, we're owed those things by promises that we have continuously been made in these different political arenas as others have risen to their positions. They've made promises, and just like we spoke with Mother Sherry earlier, you know, they come through and they give us a fish fry and a t-shirt. And that's normally enough, and then we never hear from them after that, you know, once they get everything riled up. So for us to take
the stand. Oh, those fish fries gets us every time, them fish fries.
Now we come out.
You know, if we understand who we are and, like, the initiative that she's taking of, you know, that we're taking of asking for, you know.
We need some
things in writing before you get in position, before you get the vote. Because obviously the vote is power, because they make the time to come here and speak to the people. But we just don't ask for enough when they come.
Right.
You know, we get excited by star status of a celebrity politician and a fish fry and the opportunity to take pictures and hang around with them. But we need the money. You know, they need to open up some talks about giving us back what we deserve, or even moving forward, giving us what we deserve or what we demand at this point.
I said it, that black power.
Right on, right on. Very well said, brother. And so, what do you suggest? Do you think that we need to do something drastic, or this method of presenting this to the Biden administration, but necessary as possible? Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
I say Biden administration or any administration, you know, because at this point we do have to think about ourselves. You know, the different communities that settle in this land, they don't claim under any umbrella. You know, the Chinese come and they get reparations, you know, right away. you know, and
Ukrainian
reparations. Like, what did we do to them for them to deserve reparations? You know what I mean? So these people get reparations right away, and they don't say we're down with the Republican Party or we're down with the Democratic Party. They get theirs as they demand it. So I think that we need to start standing on ours, you know, standing on what we believe in, and really, you know, stop so much waiting for them to give us something, in essence, and stop working with them and stop, you know, start putting together our own resources like other people do. Start shopping with ourselves, start doing business with our people.
Exactly.
When we do put together our next big gathering of people. Let's have some economic forums where we can start to make commerce amongst each other, you know, and force people to have to deal with us, because we are a hell of a force. We just get scattered out, and our funds and all our power gets spread to everybody else in the community, you know.
Right.
I was
going
to talk Truth Bay about our executive order different from HR 20. But I wanted Elder Yao to speak on the question about what to do next, right, a convention or something.
Right on.
Simply, this is Yao. We need to work together. We need to learn how to work together. And that's what we haven't been doing, work together to get things started. Everybody else works together.
Yeah. But remember, we were talking about that with Brother Jami Lukman, a black vote. And both Truth Bay and I said, impossible. But we do have some black Republicans who want reparations. And if they vote reparations disorder, and we know all the Democrats, then that would be the block.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody, we are unique. We don't do together because why? We're the only ones in the world who came to this country enslaved from 50 different countries and 3,000 different languages and religions and naked on those ships. And then we expected to work together. Nobody comes over here like that. They have divisions in the Chinese and the Ukrainian. I met the Ukraine. They've got different people, but they didn't come here divided. We came here divided. Anyway, let's hear Ty, and then I'm going to wrap up with what you and I are working on for this meeting tomorrow with Ty Clyburn.
Right, so I agree with both what my brother just said, you know. And I mean, just moving forward is just I gotta touch on more so what he said. I mean, we know we denationalized. That's the issue. We denationalized. We don't got our own nationality as far as most of our people don't really know where they come from. Their grandparents telling them that they was indigenous to the land, some Indian or whatever, but they looking on TV, Hollywood, and think that's the former Indian that they talk about. That's the $5 Indian. They don't know that type of education. So if we're going to move politically, we just need brothers and sisters that like to stoop on that and move. A lot of things got to be done grassroots, like old school. You know, we can't be afraid to get off the internet on certain things. And, you know, publicly have certain things that we do too, but it's just a holistic aspect with that we got to move on. The healing aspect, we need that, you know, the natural herbalists getting back to the earth, farming, and getting back into these trades, really knowing how to build our businesses, like indigenous businesses, where, you know, we know how to move and then still have the public aspect that we deal with too, but pushing that into our indigenous trust where we take control of our resources best, you know.
Yeah.
So ultimately, at this meeting tomorrow, half an hour, I've got a caller, I'm 92-year-old, I knew her, and Brother Yao knows her, did one of his gates for her, Joanna Martin Carrington.
Mm-hmm.
She was appalled when she saw Jim Clyburn giving reparations to the Indian, was it Cherokees or something?
Mm-hmm.
And when we were at his fish fry, 2,000 people, three young black men in the audience were saying, reparations, reparations. He didn't even look their way, and the security guard marched them off. And she's going to help us with this meeting tomorrow, if I can get a hold of her. Anyway, we are saying executive order, a reparation covenant.
That's the guy that wants to see the ball.
Jim Clyburn, yeah. Well, his staff, not himself. So they'll get the word to him. Right. Not yet, but if we can convince the staff with her, who this he respects every time I see him, all I have to say is Joanna Martin Kelly. He starts smiling. Oh, yes. He will listen to her. I don't know if he'll do it, but he will listen. And then I'm going to read our, you know, we call it ARC, Reparations Covenant, and we're going to have that as our theme. The 2024 election, the black vote, that's the name of our webinar, what are you calling it? What is it? Help seminars that we're going to run, and our Mende Festival with the ironsmith, the blacksmith, and all that. We're having a message that we're going to teach from 9 in the morning till 4. Then we're going to go to the big dinner. I've bought tickets for 7 people. So that's it. And the, you know, Cam Howard is coming also. We'll all be sitting together. He just wants, and it's the least that they could do, true, is to get that study, H.R. 40, out of the, you know, Congress. Never got out of committee. And my congressman, Detroit, yes, cut the check and the land and the injury. And then we're going to the Treatment Bureau. Dr. Truth Bay, I told them about your wonderful idea. We already had 2 years after emancipation, they set up federal departments ready to help us, right? And then Reconstruction, they took it away. We already had a plebiscite we could have done. You want to stay in America? Your choice. You want to go back to Africa? Your choice. You want to go create your own nation in America. And so we're going to be teaching these things, and your hate crime bill, everything we can pack in for $1.9 trillion. That's 47 million current descendants. We were going to just do the 4 million slaves, but no, 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 no. We got enough people times 40 acres and a mule, which we never got. That makes $1.9 trillion. And I don't know if I'm going to bring that up tomorrow, the money. Just get them to sign on in principle. I told you that before. Keep it simple, stupid, right? And once we get them to commit to a written agreement, they're going to ask questions, right, you know, the staff. And we'll talk about that later. Okay, so we're happy today.
Sherry, Queen Mother Shutter, can you hear me?
Yes. Who is she?
Oh, okay, this is Black Lightning. This is Black Lightning.
Oh, hi,
I got
Black
somebody.
Lightning.
Hi. I wanted to introduce you to somebody before you go, because this brother would be, as a matter of fact, he knows Truth Bay very well, and they both work on the Reparations Committee. And it didn't even dawn on me. We should have been called him. He'd be perfect for with us with the Republic of New Africa. And this is Big Money Griff, and this is Queen Mother Sherry Suttles.
Oh, thank you, Brother Black Lightning. Black Lightning, Black Power. Black Power.
Yes, Black Power.
Ungawa, Black
Free
Power.
Free the land, by any means.
Yes, free the land, free the land. Sister Shuttles, I'm so happy to hear that you're talking about reparations, because I'm one of those brothers like no other from another mother that says no reparations, no black vote. We're sick and tired of being sick and tired as a result of coming off of Dr. Martin Luther King parade this past week, where he said that he wants us to look at his daughters not by the content of their the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And he also said that he wanted to cash in for a check that came back insufficient funds. What I'm saying to you, Sister Shuttle, is this: we've been bamboozled and hoodwinked all our lives, and now what we're saying is no reparations, no black vote. And what I mean by that is this. We see today where the Republicans are talking about how they do not want Congress to give Ukraine any more money unless they do something with the border. What we need to say is that we as black African Americans are the determining factor as to whether or not Democrats are elected, as to whether or not Republicans will be elected. So why can't we have reparations? Why we were here before these immigrants that are coming into America. And so what we're saying to you is give them some basic logic. Say to them, we want reparations. You talk about the border. What about us black African Americans? Yes. We determine whether or not you're going to be elected or not. Give us our fair share. We deserve it.
Yeah.
We're seeing where our young kids today are busting and grabbing in these jewelry mark stores. We're seeing where our kids are busting and grabbing in these liquor stores and stealing little to nothing, and they don't need that stuff. When we were coming up as kids, and you tell them, when we were coming up as kids, our parents gave us an allowance. But now the parents today don't even have enough money to give them an allowance. And they're sick and tired of seeing these people come across the border getting hotels, motels, Holiday Inns, and getting a chance to have free medical and free dental. And what do our kids have? Our kids don't have anything. Right. And when their parents die, they're going to be on the street homeless. And so what we're saying to you is that it's time for you to take a strong look at these busting and grabbing, because you're turning our kids into being criminals. And they're not criminals, because we've never done this before in the history of America. And when we look at the history of America, the Civil War, we know that it wasn't until slaves was incorporated into the Civil War that determined whether or not we was going to win or lose, or this was going to be the United Snakes of America or the Confederate flag. And it was us who made it the United States of America. So we need to let you understand that we want to work within the budget. Give us our fair share. How much is here in the state of California? Because I'm in California. I'm here in California. I'm fighting very hard for $5,000. I'm fighting very hard for $5,000 every single month to the day we die. I want to let them know that you got to crawl before you walk. And now what we're saying is this. We're saying no reparations, no black vote. We're sick and tired of y'all bamboozling us and hoodwinking us. And so what we're saying is this. We don't want our children to become criminals here in the state of California, because they're sick and tired of seeing these refugees come across the border and getting free medical, dental, and hotels, motels, Holiday Inns. We want to make sure that we're in the limelight. And so what we need now is people who are going to galvanize and mobilize around the issue of how much money is in the budget. What is the budget for the state of California? You can Google it yourself when you get off this line with me. $296.9 billion a year. And what we're saying to you, sister, is that we want $120 billion of that $296.9 billion, and $223 billion goes to the general fund. And if you subtract that, you'll have approximately $400.5 billion. And all we're saying is that when we get our $120 billion every single year to the day we die, that will stimulate this economy, because we're going to buy every damn thing under the sun unless we have infrastructure in place to cover our derrieres to where we're smart enough to recycle our black dollars and do what we're going to do. But you know as well as I do, a lot of us is still damaged. We're damaged mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. And so as a result, it's going to take some time. But we got to make sure that they don't get bamboozled and hoodwinked and start with these pyramids and stealing their money from month to month. So we're going to have some work to do. But I just wanted to share with you all on Black Talk Radio that if we start sending our kids to jail for this busting and grabbing, which they're setting us up to do, setting us up for the kill, our kids, our young black men are 20 years old. When they get out, they'll be 30 years old. Every single morning, 365 days in a year, they wake up with a hard Peter Reeder. And now they want to put that hard Peter Reeder in somebody, and they go up in these men that's in jail. Right. And then when they get out, they want to go up in our women. And now our women is already shying away from us, and now the women can't handle it because there's too much friction back there, and now all of a sudden they can't even hold their poop, and now they got to put toilet paper up there and stuff it up. And now we done damaged both of our people. We're damaged goods. I had one hour of sleep last night.
I can't do it with you no more, sweetheart. Thank you.
Okay.
Tuesday, we'll talk in Orlando.
Right on. I got the whole West Coast up there.
Let's rally around this. What does it take to reconvene a black political convention? What does it take to do the remake? Black Power? That's the
and this is Black Power Radio.
It sounds like a whole
workforce. Black Talk. Black Power Radio
tonight.
Give me more to listen to your radio, folks.
What is the remake and what does it take?
We're going to have to get into our own communities and get to work in every community and sew it up. Only house to come together as one nation, one love. Because there's too many of us fighting each other, we got a bigger fight. So we're going to have to team up and love each other and come together because we got to fight them. We can't fight each other no more. That's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tanisha calling out of California. I'm about to certify Oakland and L.A. with Truth Day. It's a good to get us certified. So we're going to have to. I'm listening in. I'm taking notes. I'm building my team out here. I'm just wondering what we're going to have to do and knowing we're comrades and what we're going to have to just put our footwork together and get out there and heal our communities. That's what it's going to take. And so when that fight comes, we're going to be ready for that fight. They're going to know how to do the bow and arrow. They're going to know everything, down to gardening, how to grow your own food. All that is important. They're putting, like they were saying yesterday, my sister was saying yesterday, I had so much going on. I couldn't really speak. And it's like, yes, I understand her fight. But we're going to go in with love, and we got to fight. Just know, you know what I'm saying? We are black fallen angels. We walk with the gods right now. So we're going to have to just pull together. And everything we say on this line, let's do it. We a team. We're going to have more meetings coming up. Like you said, educate is the one. Getting smart enough was the key. So we have to be smart enough and move with smarter tactics this time.
Absolutely.
Well, each one
takes
self-determination. Is it something else? Self-determination. Yes, go ahead.
Well, the switchblade automatic chair.
All right. Is that for text?
That's a patent by our national chairman. You should patent that.
I'm already working on an auto chair. Now you got a chair with a switchblade in it.
No, a switchblade chair. You just push the button and it automatically folds up and smacks the shit out of somebody. And then it folds back and you sit back down. And then somebody says, what happened? I don't know.
Right,
I've been sitting here the whole time. Huh?
All right. All right. Let's give me another chair. All right
now.
Please, give me another. We got self-determination on the board. Some collective solidarity on the board with self-determination. Give me some other components to build a
political
convention.
We need windmills and solar generators and land. That's what we need. Solar generators.
Okay, come on.
We got
the windmills and also the hydro. What do you call that? The hydro
electric power stations. We could cover down.
We got to invest in rubber.
Come on. Give me something new. Give me something new. We got self-determination.
Invest in rubber.
And self
Invest in rubber. I'm thinking about investing in rubber because they got these robots coming out. We're gonna have to have rubber for them to build the materials. We're gonna have to go get the rubber.
Okay. Yeah, I think we got a plan working in the south on the
gold.
That's three.
Gold.
Let's say natural mineral resource.
Right.
We'll come live with
all
the,
that.
With the mineral resource? Come on, let's see. Let me hear from you.
All that.
Okay.
The railroad. So we can transport what we need.
Oil lines.
We need our own train, though. You know?
Okay.
We got a rail.
Okay.
And our own train track. And
let's
our own train tracks.
Somebody take notes. We got self-determination.
You know, they can shut it. They might be able to shut a lot of stuff down, but they ain't going to shut no
train
down. That train is going to come through. I don't give a damn how many roadblocks you put up. My train.
Okay, now, we got one, two, three. We got self-determination. We've
got
alternative power. We've got a rail system. And our natural and mineral resources. Let's go. Natural mineral resource. Come on, we're going to hear the rest of that.
Natural mineral resource. I'm writing down too.
Out of Lexington. We got about five components on the table of building a new black power convention or black political convention. What say ye, Brother Stout? What is the element most needed to build black an agenda for a
black businesses?
We got one mic on Stout. Where is he?
Okay, what I was wanting to say was that you were talking about where would be the best place to have it. Most everything we've had has been directly in their face in D.C. Because I learned in the 10th grade when they had the Civil Rights March, I was told that what made them sign the bill in 64 or whatever was that they looked out the window. And the Cold War was on, and they looked out the window, and they seen thousands of black men and women out there in front of them. So they said, okay, we got to do something. So when those white folks get together in D.C. or wherever they go, we can have a convention of us. But we must confront who we need to confront. And they need to be there when we do it. And let them know that that's what you're there for. And as far as the sister, it's great that she's confronting Claiborne. Claiborne needs to be confronted because we did give this man a gift, and he's given nothing back. And he needs to understand that we could go to where's Iowa? They want something in Iowa. He wouldn't like that. But we need to look at where we confront the greatest place that we can confront them. To have a convention.
A convention in Washington. Can we incorporate that? And simultaneously, they have the Million Woman March and some of those efforts have been on the line tonight. And they're going to come in October 18th. Is there another road, a better road, or that road that we could team up with this Million Woman's March to get the black agenda in front of the major politicians? Can that be used?
I think so.
That's a pertinent cross-examination question.
Oh, yeah, it's the system.
Like, boom.
All right, let's go.
See if they can take that back. Let's table that for a discussion, but let's put it in front of that committee. Million Woman March can tell us more on how we can reconstruct a black political convention.
Black power to the people.
Black power.
Oh, I got a national field marshal chiming in. Brother Karan is on the line. And matter of fact, we got an announcement of something going on, too. But we're talking about where we should have the black convention right now.
Drop it like it's hot.
Yeah, go for it. Black Power, brother, you there? Did he drop off?
Black Power, he could have dropped off. But
we
got about five. Let's stick to the five elements. If we can get five basic elements.
I'm going to get
them
black. Because we got a show coming up.
Having an alternative power is meaning that when the cracker pulls the plug on the power, we can continue to keep it moving with an alternative power source. So that's has to be wind or rain or snow. Something that makes the wind blow when we don't say go, with some heat on it in the winter and some cool me off in the summer, and you can work with you. We got a hell of a network if you can get that going. So we got heating, ventilation, air conditioning. We got self-determination. We got natural and mineral resources. And what was that third one? There was a fifth one in there.
And
we on there. Black power.
That's sort of relatively readily available. You can almost attach yourself to any nation on this earth if you just step outside of America for a few minutes and say, hey, wave your hand. You can usually get some asylum or citizenship, and mostly any nation on earth will give you a second stab or a second jab at citizenship. Yeah. We have our second citizenship in Albania, and Albanians in what used to be South Africa, Zimbabwe. We're in Zimbabwe for our second citizen. But you can pick and, you know, choose whatever makes you, you know, makes your flippers flap.
Right, right.
Okay. Go right
ahead. The flippers flap? Well, Brother Karan is black with us too, by the way. I know he's coming in on the tail end of what's going on, but we have other stuff too. So, yeah. He'd be the best person to tell you about it if I didn't lose him again. You there, brother? He might be on. All right, black power. What's that question again? We were trying to figure out what's the best city to have the black convention.
As I say, as all time, Washington D.C. is the very best, and you can lessen the grade.
Started off
from there.
In Gary, Indiana, and then they had the anniversary. Where was that again?
Newark.
Truthfully,
it was in New Jersey.
Newark was
New
the anniversary. Right. So. They're trying to figure out where's the best place to have the next one. Well, everybody's opinion.
I like Newark. I was born in Newark.
All right.
Big Money was born in Newark.
Okay, take it back to Newark. That's one for Newark. How about
New Jersey,
you, Brother
New Jersey.
Karan?
New York.
So what's
New
up
York.
With Newark?
Hey, New York would be the top, you know. And I'm going to tell you why, because D.C. is shut down right now. It ain't like back in the 60s where they could look out in their windows and be intimidated. Now it's like ain't nobody in the buildings. It's like most of them got barricades and shit around them and all that, and they got Secret Service on the outside. You can't even drive past there, let alone walk. You might be able to walk, though. I don't know. That's an idea. But I'm just saying, it's shut down. We need something that's wide open, like Harlem. Hell yeah, Harlem. Because that's supposed to be black Mecca anyway. Anyway, there and Atlanta.
That'll bring you black. You got to bring
Atlanta
is facing gentrification.
Atlanta is just a black Mecca, but Harlem, that's man, that's lighting it up. You know, going past the Apollo and everything, that's lighting it up. You know, that's what I think. Well, which borough was you thinking, brother?
Harlem.
Yeah. Hey, tell, what about the announcement? The announcement, because I don't want to.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Brother Black Lightning and myself, a.k.a. Black Lion and Blue McCool, have a rap live stream coming up January 26th. You can get the link from Facebook if you follow Black Lightning or if you follow myself, Karan Sutton. KoranSutton, and we're going to have a Black Power rap concert. It's a live stream. You can watch it from your phone, your tablet, your computer. You can watch it. So look out for the link on Facebook.
Yeah, conscious type rap, you know, and revolutionary rap. You know, hooks. Well, but can y'all mute your line so he can give that date out again? Because I want that to be crystal clear on air. I'm going to mute my line. Everybody mute it. Okay. Mute your line, please. You can give that date
Black
again.
Black Power. That's January 26th. That's like in 4 days. Like 4 days and 2 hours.
What time?
So,
what time?
7 p.m. Eastern.
Rolling with the lucky sevens.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're gonna give it to them live and the living black powerfulness. Powerfulness.
Where?
Also.
Where at?
The name of the show. The name of the show is Obsessive Blue Disorder. So if you was to type in myaftn.com/obsessive blue disorder. So you can type it in yourself. But if you were to follow myself on Facebook and Instagram, you can find it under Blue Mku, BLUUMKUU, or Black Lion. He got his own link. He can send it to everybody as well.
Yeah, yeah. And on the mine, I'm going to put it on mine too, on the Dynamite Lightning. So, yeah, we're going to get it rocking. Heck yeah. You know?
It's a Black Power experience, and we want all our Black Power comrades, associates, and members to still support Black Power.
Yep, I'm gonna use my proceeds to go to Power to the People. I'm gonna use my proceeds to go to the tent drive, because I've been telling them earlier that for the people that live in the woods, it's two different spots. Matter of fact, I was just talking to an original Black Panther out of Charlotte, North Carolina, he's up this way. And can y'all mute the line? Somebody got some popping going on. But it's much better. They're still there. sisters, what it was is this. They have seven big money. Can you mute yours too? Sister Tooth, sometime I know your California lines be doing that to me. Come on, y'all. 700.
Okay,
people.
I'm already on mute. Thank you, Black Power. Let's continue the
well,
show.
Well, not
power.
Just you. I'm not.
Black Power.
I'm talking about everybody. Black Power, because this is important. 700 people killed from hypothermia annually in the U.S. And the mortality rate of the homeless has increased by 55%, you know, each year. And let's say we have these are the actual stats. From 2,056 out of 100 million, 1,289 died by May 12th of 2023. And we got 653,100 homeless, according to HUD. And that was by December the 15th, 2023. And think about that. You know, we got that's almost the circumference of the earth. 653, I'm sure y'all probably got some current numbers too, but 653, point 100, let's just say it like that, homeless, and that's according to HUD. And the average life expectancy, well, let's just say that they said life on the streets is brutal, brutal. So, and especially in the snow, because y'all, we got snow up here. And life on the streets is brutal, and the lack of secure shelter, you know, not just home, but a secure shelter, food, income, and hygiene makes it nearly impossible to be healthy. So the life expectancy on the streets is about 48 years. And so we can actually help because I've been researching on whoever's got an open mic, please mute your line. thank you. That's better. I've been pricing outdoor showers. They have camp showers.
They even have camp toilets. I've never even seen one of these. It's kind of pricey, though, but they got camp toilets, showers. I mean, like you say, if we have the, if you got the land and to do it on, you know, and matter of fact, these people are self-sufficient as it is, and they out there on the land doing it anyway. So basically, just give them the bigger tent, bigger, like a big canvas tent. They got big winter tents, canvas winter tents, and they got stove pipe holes in them. So you, and now the stoves, those are about $300, wood burning stoves. And then you got the covers over top. That's $300. Now you got big tents that will house like maybe 20 people, and that's like $899. And the, yeah, $899 for the tent, and then we got $1,000. I mean, $200 for the cover. So it's about $1,100 if you want to round it off. So what I'm saying is, to the people out there, well, I'm sure the chief would give it to me. $77 Bakers. Well, not give it to me. We'll go buy these tents. Well, I might need his truck or whatever car we're using. We use the trunk or the truck because I'm just saying we need the $77 Bakers and put hashtag tents for the homeless. Now, like I say, I've seen some nice winter tents that people could actually survive in, you know, and then, you know, they can you know, you got elderly people out here, too. And now one other thing I was looking at for the sister I mentioned earlier is she would rather sit because she feels like if she laying down, she's not going to be able to get up, you know. So chair. And now I've got a lot of these. I bought some of these myself. Like they got battery operated sweaters and stuff. I'm sure people have seen them. But they also, I mean, not operated, heated. They have heated sweaters and stuff like that. But that's not what I'm getting to, is they have heated chairs. Now, since the lady is not, you know, that's how she sleeps anyway. So anyway, get the heated chairs for the elderly, you know, whoever, and because I'm going to get a head count. I went out tonight to get a head count, but people either sleep or they gone or whatever, and at the time, nobody around. But that's okay. I'm going to get a head count and see who's – it's not too many old people on this particular camp, but there's another camp where there is. And I know one of them is a elder vet, and he might need one of them too. So these heated chairs, they're not cheap. They're like $200. You know what I mean? But that $200 goes towards somebody surviving this winter. You know, because those battery operated. I mean, you put a battery in the chair, and the chair heats up, and then you got these solar charges, right? The solar charges charge those batteries up. You know, matter of fact, they have bigger that I was actually looking at was a and we could use it for our events and stuff too, you know, stuff like this, you know, in the future, and once I get the grasp of how everything works, you know what I mean. But yeah, stoves, you know, wood burning stoves where you can put the wood up in that joint, and they and really, you know, shoot, I'm thinking, you know, some of people. Just by the grace of God, you know, or where we are, you know what I mean? It's like from sleeping in the hallways to sleeping in any part of this house I feel like, you know, or go out there in the woods with them and see how these tents work. You know what I mean? See, I'm one of them hands-on people. I want to go up in there and see if it's warm, you know what I mean? And see how warm it is and sit down and chill and maybe see if we can, on those solar chargers, you can plug in some stuff to play some music and stuff, you know. They can charge their phones up, you know. They got Wi-Fi out there, too. So I'm just saying, it's ways to survive if you're a survivor, and we're survivors. Not survivors, we're winners. And winners win. and we're gonna win for the people and be the like I've been saying lately, Memoirs of a Black Panther. I am a black revolutionary. Black power. I'll land on that. We got to get there. Well, no, I can't land yet. Dollar sign, 77 Bakers. I'm going to say it like Dr. Umar. I'm going to reiterate this. I'm regurgitate this one. Y'all ready? Get your ink pens out. Dollar sign. If you ain't got ink pen, just type it in your phone. Or better yet, go straight to Cash App. Go straight to Cash App. I'm going to give everybody a minute to get the Cash App, okay? Get the Cash App out. It's a little green thing with a dollar on it or something, a dollar sign. And it's, and put in this, put in dollar sign 77 Bakers. And that's, I want to give it to them, regurgitate it one more again, like Dr. Umar. And like the Bible sometime, you know, like the old school preachers. They give it to you, you know, say, hey, make sure you remember this, dollar sign, and this capital letters. If somebody's typing it in right now, I feel like somebody's over there typing it in, dollar sign, 77, Bakers, and as capital letter, B-A-K-E-R-S, like patty cake Bakers, man, dollar sign, 77, Bakers, and put a nice donation from the heart, you know. Like people used to do to churches. The churches try to put you on a guilt trip. God's a barn is not full. That's bullshit. God's barn is always full, and He give it out as much as He feel like. You know, all you gotta do is have faith to get it. So I got faith in the people right now, because actually I can't afford to do it. Anybody on this line that know me personally know that I've been asking them for money, you know, off and on, you know, because it's hard, you know, sometimes, you know, especially when you're trying to help here and there, and save a little bit so you can survive too. So I'll say it again, dollar sign 77 Bakers, hashtag tents for the homeless, tents for the homeless. And that we can do this. We can do this, you know. And matter of fact, some of them people out there already got tents. Now, they're the ones that can use the stoves. They're the ones that can use them electric chairs. You know, you find the elderly out there like that, you know. Imagine if it was your mama or your grandmama out there living out there in a tent, you know. And wouldn't y'all want to get her a nice chair that warm you up, you know, a warm you up chair. That way you can put a blanket around it, sit in a nice heated chair, and just chill while it's snowing, huh? Because it is snowing up here. It never rains in Southern California, but up here it snows and hails and all kind of, you know. But we love y'all. Black power. Give until it helps. And I know some of y'all got a grand to give. I mean, these tents cost over a grand, you know. Now, if you the individual tents, like I paid for one of them today, those would be like good for like two or three, maybe two people or one person, and that's like $150. So I went ahead and spent that. I already got one. It's on the way. But that's not only going to help the one that I know is not going to be congregating with the other ones, and the one that ain't going to be asking for help, and the one that really need it too, and the one that is elderly. So, and I think God's going to bless that situation, because I was, I'm going to do it. Memoirs of a Black Panther. The lady I was mentioning, sometimes God works in mysterious ways, you know. It's like, got to get up out of there, right? So, well, how you get up out of there? We'll say, well, let's a little candle, set it on fire. And when it's set on fire, then all of a sudden they put it in a hotel. So let's just hope and pray. Y'all can put all the prayer warriors. Say, okay, stay in that hotel, you know, until the Calvary comes. Because he already say, the Jehovah Witnesses is coming to get me. You know, she say, my my brothers and sisters are coming to get me. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. Some people don't see when God send them that brother and sister that they were sitting there waiting on, you know? So let's be that brother and sister that they were sitting there waiting on, because they may not realize they looking up the street. You're standing in front of them like, can I help? You know, can I protect? Can I make sure that nobody harasses this sister? You know, can I tell the other people? Can I tell the other homeless out there, you know, the ones that are a little bit crazy, that, hey, where that lady at? I'm her nephew. So let's put it like that, you know. Say that's family right there. So we protect ours is what I'm saying. We protect ours. And better not nobody mess around with ours. And in the meantime, in between time, I'm Black Lightning, and me and my brother Karan, we're going to be doing some serious music. Boy, I tell you, this shit going to be off the hook. I got miles and miles and miles of material. I've been writing for, like, what, months now? Like, sometimes I write a song every day. Yeah, National Chairman say, don't put it all out there one day. You gonna do like 50 Cent and Tupac and them just go and do an album, the whole day, just stay in the studio all day and do your album.
I just followed you, sir. I just followed you, Black Lightning. I just followed you.
All right, Black Power.
All right, let's do
right
it.
Right on. Okay, y'all. Well, I'm gonna drop the mic. Well, I better not drop the mic because it's actually a $800 phone and I'm still paying for it. So, a little comedy. Black power!
Black power.
Hey, y'all got it.
Hey, power. We've given you much more, I know, than what you listen to radio for. There, again, lies the proof of the pudding. We have the most informative radio short talk story than any other brand of so-called iniquities. We're not on the point on the triangle or upside down in the bucket, and if it don't, mother so-and-so. And I feel I could communicate without using expletives in every other sentence. If you go back to far, it was clear, and you'll find me just here, there, and then everywhere.
Oh, no expletives. All good. Number
all
love
right. Anybody else that have that extremely pressing issue that it must be said this week, instead of waiting for this week to come to next week, we decided to move one day forward. We are today hereby certified Black Panthers. So now we have to ask the pertinent cross-examination question. Where is your army and who's carrying this out? Not long. Black
power.
We are
the looking forward to the Million Woman March. We're looking forward to those things associated with March and the Black History Month, and all that's coming down the pike in 24 is going to continue to give you more of what you're listening to your radio for. And therefore, after saying that, we must remember always, Marvin Gaye, say it again.
Black power, black power, and a strong black military to black that call, as we know, those that are plotting our economic demise, our social political demise are in the wings. And you know what we call them? He's got a blade in his hand and the straight is the basketball front. Again, with a strong black military.
do.
But the one that got away, when we left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey, the only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, go and tell, bro. Don't they open any letters, hit this with a COINTEL, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains, sitting around waiting for the shit to change. You point fingers, not at this, just complain. Started didn't fight, just strip the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence is to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror. Just drop bombs, some mothers and the kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Told Bobby cut my neck, so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a side of. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a side of. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a side of. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a side of. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Somebody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the spoons with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the state. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton in the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with it. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then he shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies, they teach you. Don't conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bones that bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna sign and touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Rip the chains, rip the chains. The American way plays rip the chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Rip the chains, rip the chains. The American way plays rip the chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Thank you.
devil's dog. Thank God I brought a helmet. The average American male skeleton shatters in my head like cell blunts. Greatest tale ever told is a tale you could only live to tell once. Narcissistic and my self-lust, and we wonder why Lord don't help us. Swerving on my way to hell drunk. All I'm seeing is a weak leader with some good slaves. That's a strong back with a frail front. Hell Trump. Snipe his ass from 1,000 feet with a nail gun. And his wifey too, I don't know the dame. She don't get the hunch, get a bell rung. The tallest human is the smallest giant. This what happens when you starve a lion. Before the battle, world is calm and silent. Cause a riot crumbles all the walls in Zion. Western church, barrel spinning like the laundry's Ryan. My inner light could charge a large appliance without all the wires. When I met the alchemist, I taught him science through the art of rhyming. I'm a child predator, not a pedophile. I'm the alien offspring of a predator. Father traveled by warp speed through the nebula. Met mom, made a crossbreed from the sex with her. All these god genes are molecular. He just called me through the cellular. Stories of antiquity, see that pot of supreme light. That only children born with special psychic powers see at night. But in these modern times, in the doctor's eyes, if you speak of me, you're schizophrenic or have DID. If you know me now, you're the lunatic that imaginary people seek to meet. Pig shell and ACID, so I sold them like surgic disalamine. I decide what cryptic data mean. I gave sacrifice to David Carradine. And my monster or a moon star. Old spirit in a new body. You're an old nigga in a used car. And the old earth is the new Mars. Girl sinning. Sinning girls get to sing gals at the nude bar. I'm too charged. Trying to buy my mama own planet with a huge yard. Ooh Lord, save me. Do a shroom, then I go to church. Ooh, my baby. Is that a pussy or an open purse? Told the nurse, check my photo first. While you down there, make sure that my boner works. I was created to throw the earth. God body, so I know my worth. Wrote a perp, then I took the wall. Made my Marcus Garvey poster smirk. Took the tablets, I was Moses first. Grow a human from the holy dirt. Boil, boil, win the royal oil. Bring a chicken back to life, I know it works. All I see is birds, Michael Jackson with an open shirt. I had an epileptic seizure before I wrote this verse. They tried to tell me that my melanin mean that my soul is cursed.
Love your brother, 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 love your